I hope you have had a lovely Labor Day. And as a matter of fact, later on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, we'll be talking to Professor James Barrett from the University of Illinois to discuss why we observe Labor Day and how Chicago plays a significant role in the labor movement. Andrea is off. One more night, she'll be back tomorrow. And we've got a lot to cover tonight. I know we've got our friends from Walter E. Smith, who redecorated a teacher's lounge, and they want to tell us about that. We also have our friends from Strength in the City, which is an important fitness festival that we want to talk about that's going to be on Northerly Island. And we also have comedian Paul Farvar joining us later. In studio right now with me is Elliot Serrano. And one of the first questions I asked you when we caught up today was, how is your basement? Because I think there are a lot of people struggling tonight.
I don't have a basement. I have a crawl space.
Okay.
And the sump pump that I almost killed myself installing 2 years ago is working just fine.
That's got to feel nice.
Yes. Oh, yeah. When I go out and I see that big puddle of water on my sidewalk out front, I'm like, oh, yeah. All right.
Nice. And do you keep track? Do you monitor like the sewers, like the openings in your street? Because my husband goes out regularly to sweep away or rake the leaves that might be covering the drains. He tries to make sure, because a lot of people say, oh, well, the city's not cleaning that. There's some easy maintenance that we can all do on our blocks so that when water accumulates in weather like this, because they can't stay on top of every single leaf, and that builds up. My friends in Norwood Park, my friend Jenny and her husband were showing a photo of them almost knee deep in water in front of their house with the huge dumpsters, like the plastic dumpsters from the city of Chicago floating down the street. And they were wondering why the city wasn't staying on top of that. But I wonder how much people check their drains. And so I wanted to get someone on from the city, but of course it's hard to get a hold of anyone today. But 312-981-7200, do you, check on your drains every once in a while, maybe just sweep things out, just get a bag out there. Maybe that's something we can do in advance of weather like this. But in the meantime, it isn't something my husband does go out and do when we get heavy rain like this, is to make sure those drains are open. And that prevents not just the streets flooding, but perhaps a buildup leading into your basements.
I'm in the middle of my block. There are no
drains
by me.
Okay.
I know like towards the end of the block, both ends of my block, there are drains. And I see people out there doing that sort of thing. Because it's a bit, when the drains are charged, quote unquote charged, meaning they're just full of too much water or whatever.
Right.
My block turns into, a little river. You just grab your kayak and just get out there.
Oh, man, the folks that live along the Des Plaines River, I just get so nervous for them because they get a lot of damage. When we moved into our building, we live in Jefferson Park. It was something that we had never lived in a house. I grew up in an apartment. My parents always always had an apartment. So the idea of house maintenance was new to us. Our first summer there, and our neighbors told us it was like the storm of the century. We were knee deep in water in our basement. And then the following year, apparently that century was not necessarily the century it turned out to be, because again, the storm of the century is like 2002, then 2003, our basement flooded again. And then we got an appraisal from PermaSeal. It turned out we had cracks in our foundation. We've had one instance since 2018, but it was coming up through the drain in the middle of the basement that we had a situation. But other than that, like tonight, my husband has checked, and he, we are dry in our basement. We're very happy about that.
It's, the thing, though, is especially with my little brother is always talking about how his basement will flood, and he'll always blame the sump pump. Because, here's the other great thing, too. If you lose power in the middle of a storm.
Oh, no.
And your sump pump is electric powered, goes, like mine. My sump pump is hooked up to the electricity of the house.
So you're jammed if.
If I lose power, I'm out of luck.
And I know people spend tens of thousands of dollars on drain tiles and building that trench around their houses. We do everything that we can. And we wanted to remodel our basement and maybe put some nice stuff down there. My brother-in-law was like, you don't want to do that. You live in Chicago. More after this on 720 WGN. We're going to check in with Professor James Barrett to talk about labor history. It's Labor Day. I just thought that would be, appropriate. What is Labor Day? Does it mark the end of summer for you? Is it a day to relax and barbecue? Maybe watch some baseball? Where did Labor Day come from? It's something that I wanted to discuss because it's, I think it's as important today as it was 50 years ago, as it was 100 years ago, as it was when the labor movement began in the United States. And joining me on the line is Professor James Barrett from the University of Illinois, professor of history. He's written the books The Irish Way, Becoming American in the Multi-Ethnic City, The Spirit of Labor, amongst other publications. Thank you so much for joining us, Professor Barrett.
Hi, Patty. Thanks.
I decided to conjure up the names of two of my mentors from the University of Illinois, Professor Kamerling and Frank Valdez, both of whom have been guests on my show. I somehow did not take a class with you, and for the life of me could not remember why.
That's okay, Patty.
I hope you'll forgive me. Tell us, yeah. I think one of the things I really wanted to talk about tonight is, in particular, the role that Chicago played in the global labor movement.
Yeah, the, what we know as Labor Day was established by Congress in 1885, I guess. But the day that's usually recognized as the day for labor globally is May 1st. And, when I was growing up, that always conjured up images of, Moscow and Beijing and missiles and tanks and so forth. But that Labor Day, the movement for the eight-hour day and a lot of the rest of labor history in the United States is pretty closely associated with Chicago. And that part of the story, the May 1st story, goes back to Haymarket in 1886. There's a pretty nice sculpture down in that area today. That was kind of the beginning of the eight-hour day, and also remembered as kind of a violent episode in labor history. So New York gets the first Labor Day parade in 1882, but it's a lot of the movement for this really came out of Chicago and is associated with the city.
What do you think was the sort of catalyst? What were some of the machinations in place that pushed people who were working so hard? People, as you mentioned, the 8-hour day were working 10, 12, maybe longer hours. There were children who were working. There were unsafe conditions. What finally pushed people to stand up and say, we're not going to take this anymore?
I think one of the reasons it's a little bit harder today to understand this history and, maybe more importantly, to understand what this day really means is that it's pretty closely associated today in people's minds with wage increases, with money, basically.
Right.
And I think if that's the way you think about it, then it's really hard to get at the answer to the question that you're asking, because I think that's obviously a part of it. And, wages translate into living standards and prospects for your kids and a lot of other things. But the heart of the movement, and especially in this period that we're talking about, when you first, experienced the Haymarket and when Labor Day was established in the late 19th century, it was a much broader conception of labor reform. So you mentioned child labor, for example. And actually, Illinois was one of the first states where there was effective legislation passed to curb child labor. The labor for women, working really long hours. and then eventually, the labor movement gets involved in politics and through politics and housing and welfare measures and, of course, in civil rights. It was always, with the rise of the civil rights movement as early as the 1950s and earlier than that, the unions were usually associated pretty closely with that. So if you think about it in those terms, those kind of broader terms, then it's a little bit easier to understand where this impulse came from. And if you want to talk about it later, what happened with that and why we have less of that impulse today and a much weaker labor movement, and, you know, what are the implications of that?
Well, I mean, we can talk about what's happening now in comparison to what motivated people to really stand up, to rise up, to organize, because, you know, obviously today there is so many opinions when it comes to unions, you know, in particular when it comes to the state of Illinois, people blame unions for so much of our budget crisis and where we are with pensions. But, you know, a lot of that has to do with politics as well and how pensions were used by the state. Is there a way to explain to folks what the role or importance of organized labor has been for working class men and women in America?
So the part of it that's easier, kind of it's more superficial and maybe easier to explain, is this economic element. And the data there for anybody who wants it is actually very clear. There's a close association between unionization, income, of course, wages, and then living standards. And our governor, who's, you know, fond of saying that a lot of the problems in the state are associated with unions, often claims that if you have a unionized state, that's going to lead to the flight of industry. And that's coming out of his mouth. You know, that might sound okay to some people. The problem is it's not really true. The data on that it doesn't seem to suggest that a strong labor movement, and, you know, I think a lot of people are aware of it already, but for those who aren't, Illinois has a relatively strong labor movement. Unions are still stronger here than they are in many other places. And that does not seem to translate into the kind of economic problems that we're having with the state, which, as you suggested, might be more fairly linked to decisions that politicians in both parties, incidentally, have made over the years. So the economic benefit of unions is, I think, for a lot of people, easier to understand. And while that's important, it's this broader conception of unions that might be more useful if you really, you know, for people that are really interested in understanding what's happening. So in Chicago, one of the traditional routes up, for example, for immigrant people, and that was true, is the labor movement, and that was true in the late 19th century and in the early 20th century. And, of course, for anybody that pays attention to the immigrant rights movement, it's true today as well. So when we had one example of that is in 2006, when we had the largest of the immigrant rights demonstrations, which included a lot of Latino immigrants, but if you went, you know, I was involved in that, and it included a lot of other immigrants as well, you know, Filipinos and Koreans and Chinese, and, you know, there was an Irish bagpiper and so forth. But that movement, that day when it was a weekday, when that demonstration was called downtown, was something like a general strike in some of the industries with large numbers of immigrants. So the landscaping industry in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs was largely shut down on that day. So my point is that one of the ways that people have been integrated into American society, could find a place, could begin to work their way up, could begin to educate their kids, was through the labor movement. And when you get a decline in living standards and some of these avenues of upward mobility for working class people, not just for middle class people, but for working people, you usually find that the labor movement is weak. And some people are very interested in making it weaker. But as I said, the evidence suggests that will lead to lower living standards in the in the U.S.
Do you have theories, Professor Barrett, as to why labor has become... Because I know that there are efforts in other states, in particular places like Indiana and Wisconsin, to weaken the power of unions. What would you say is a way for people to pay more attention to what's going on with labor? Because as you mentioned, it affects, it has a ripple effect, I think, throughout our, not only our economy, but our living, standard of living. Thank you. Let's try to find out.
One of the things that's holding back the kind of agenda that you saw realized in Wisconsin, for example, with Governor Walker, who was very upfront from the beginning about having as one of his main goals, ending collective bargaining for public employees, which today is the most important part of the labor movement nationally, and is it is in many states as well. And one of the differences in Illinois was the relative power of unions. Now, just so no one misunderstands what I'm saying, they're much weaker in Illinois than they were in this earlier period, earlier in the 20th century, and especially in the post-World War II period. But relatively speaking, if you compare Illinois to Indiana and Wisconsin, it's been much more difficult for Governor Rauner to get that very similar sort of program through, because of the relative power of the unions. Now, people might say that that's because the two houses of government in Illinois were controlled by the Democratic Party, but the reason that's true has a lot to do with the relative strength of the labor movement. And Illinois, citizens in Illinois, for reasons, to be honest, I find harder to explain, seem to be less persuaded by some of the anti-labor propaganda. So an example is when Governor Rauner simply did not have the votes to get through his anti-labor measures in the state legislature, one of the things he did was to go around to local governments and to county government and to see if he could get kind of open shop legislation passed in those places. And it was remarkable. I was actually pretty surprised that there were very, very few local governments that sort of took that bait. Most of them seemed not very interested in that. And how do you explain that? I'm not sure, except that, there might have been some recognition that the living standards in their local area there depended to some extent upon unions.
And their support, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Here's a question before we let you go. The 773, this is Tina, says there's a huge difference between public and private unions. Public unionization is wrong because you can vote yourself a raise. That should be illegal. Thanks for reading this. What do you think about that statement?
Yeah. For the first point is that that's very important. In other words, one's understanding of that is important because the heart of the labor movement today is in the public employee unions. There are craft unions, construction unions, and the United States has much less manufacturing than it did, but to the extent that it does, there are some unions in manufacturing. Unions today tend to be strongest among immigrant, second-generation immigrant people, and people of color. And the strongest unions today are probably in the service sector, and in public employees. Teachers are a good example of that. So the reason that's important in terms of understanding the political agendas is that the Janus decision, which was just handed down by the Supreme Court as an example, where the story is people should have a right to decide whether or not they're going to pay union dues.
Right.
And when it's put that way, it sounds pretty good. If you look at the political reality, an example would be the organizations behind that push, and incidentally, Governor Rauner was pretty important in that push. What you see is that those people are mainly interested in getting rid of public employee unions, And that's because they've been a major bulwark of the Democratic Party. I don't know if I'd say they're voting themselves a raise, but it is true that the Republican Party has very little vested interest in the labor movement. The Democratic Party is much more closely associated with it. But when you talk about curbing public employee unions, the quote that you just read would suggest that we wouldn't have any public employee unions. And if that were true, that's pretty close to saying you wouldn't have a labor movement anymore.
Right.
And if you think that's good or even a desirable goal, that's great. But most open democratic societies have free unions, the right to strike, the right to bargain collectively. And I think there's still a lot of people in the United States, and maybe especially in a city like Chicago and in a state like Illinois, that would like to see that preserved, not for another 10 cents an hour, but because they think it's vital to having a democratic society.
Such important information. Again, we've been talking to Professor James Barrett. We'd love to have you on again, and you know, on various topics. I encourage people to search him online, because understanding labor history helps us understand where we are today as we observe Labor Day, which is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of the American worker. Professor Barrett, have a lovely evening, and if you're ever in Chicago, I'd love to have you in studio as well. But if you'll oblige, we'd love to have you on the phone again.
Yeah, you may be sorry you made that invitation. I'd love to talk.
Yeah, no. Hey, like I said, we have historians on the show quite often, and I apologize.
Yes.
If it makes you feel any better, I've never had my mentor, Professor Burton, on the show at all, and he used to be a regular on Milt Rosenberg's show. And that's not why I haven't had him on. I haven't had the opportunity yet.
Yeah, one of my closest friends. Anyway, Patty, I'll be glad to do it. So,
pleasure.
Thanks.
Be well, sir. Wonderful to talk to you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Good night. It is time now for our news. We are going to talk to Jen Zanotti after the news and check in for Motivational Monday after this. WGN Radio Plus is proud to announce the launch of a brand new podcast hosted by none other than the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis regular. It is Jen Zanotti. The new podcast is Getting Zen with Gen Z. And it was raining out, and I told Jen to not wade through. I didn't want you to end up in a canoe on your way to the station, Jen.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Excellent. I was asking.
I do miss you guys.
Oh, and everybody misses. I can't tell you. Slight to my other guests, including Elliot in studio or Paul or Scott Santos or Dr. Turk. But when I said you were not coming down today, man, I mean, Elliot and Ben, I didn't get a chance to stop and tell Roger that you weren't coming, but everyone was disappointed.
My night has just been ruined. Thank you,
Patty.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. It's how much good energy you bring into the station everywhere you go. And tell us a little bit about this new podcast that launches on Wednesday on WGN Plus.
Well, you know that one of my main missions in life is to be able to empower, motivate, and inspire others to live a happier, healthier life. So I am doing that through this podcast. I really want to be able to focus on areas of health, nutrition, fitness, jujitsu, of course, beauty, and self-care and stress relief. Pretty much a lot of the topics we talk about, but I want to have other guests and share the spotlight with people who are experts in these areas and bring them on and start the conversation about all these great things.
And you are somebody who, you know, kind of decided to take charge of their life. Whether was it in part because you were going through a change with going through a divorce? Was that a little bit of the motivation behind sort of changing the way you lived your life?
Absolutely. I think it started a little bit before that, more so with my health when I was in my mid-20s. But then going through, you know, once I was married and then realizing that I wasn't happy and that it was justification enough that I just wasn't happy to, you know, be able to make the change through getting a divorce. And, you know, I think people evolve, and when they're not evolving together, that's something to kind of look at. And I'm the type of person who would always just put a smile on my face and make everybody else happy, but I really wasn't. And, you know, I eventually broke down and needed to realize it was okay that I was feeling these feelings, and had to take control and get onto the path to make myself happy.
And that's key, I think. Elliot and I sense, and I could be wrong, Elliot, that you and I are similar, that it takes a pretty big kick in the pants to get motivated to do something. Like, when we did the Fight for Air Climb, I was your kick in the pants. And I made you do that. But you and I we fluctuate when it comes to taking care of ourselves, working out and things like that.
What you call a kick in the pants is essentially regular humiliations.
No.
On video.
Elliot.
So, no, but it's true. It's true. No, and it was a great, you did kind of help motivate. I think a lot of times, some folks, I mean, there are certain things that I get easily motivated for.
Right.
But like working out and exercising, as much as I really need to do it, it's hard for me to get motivated for that.
And I think for me, Jen, when we were doing the Fight for Air Climb, I mean, what a daunting challenge to know we were going to do four towers for the presidential, all the presidential towers.
Right. That's a lot.
It's tremendous. I think it's 188 floors altogether. And I did it the first year and I was so excited. I was so pumped to do it. I trained again for it the second year and I did five buildings the second year. I did the fourth building twice. And
that's amazing.
Well, but here's the thing is I was kind of like, I just have not been able, I need something different, I think. And what I've been doing now, I could just walk forever. So I have been walking as much as I can. I'm up to about anywhere between 3 to 5 miles a day of just walking.
It's amazing.
But it helps. I mean, but you have to find that thing, right? The thing that you could just do forever.
Well, you have to find what you love. I mean, that's why, I mean, obviously you guys know I'm very passionate about jiu-jitsu. I mean, so much that it's become part of my career and now I, teach it. But I think you really just have to find what it is that you enjoy doing. Any type of movement is going to be good for you, and that step forward towards your health is super important. There's so many pieces, obviously, that go towards your health, especially with eating healthy as well. Nutrition's a big part of it. But any movements that you find that you can enjoy, I think it's important to do that. That's what motivates you. But jiu-jitsu for me was that, I found that passion with that. And, now it's like I'm on the mat probably, 2 to 5 hours a day.
Which is an incredible amount of time to be rolling around, to be aggressively cuddling with people.
Aggressive cuddles all day long. I love it. It's the best thing ever.
I'm not making something up, Elliot.
I'm still waiting for Elliot to show up to class.
Right,
he likes to make his comments.
Yeah, well, you always talk about the naked jiu-jitsus.
Naked, not naked. Naked jiu-jitsu?
He calls no-gi.
I know.
Naked
jiu-jitsu. I picture people naked. And then,
a different class.
But it's all women, so I can't go to that class. So, but I'm like,
we have a co-ed no-gi class.
Oh, no one wants to see that.
It's really just some spandex. There you go.
See that? No one definitely wants to see that. Last thing I need is something outlining my form.
Oh, dear. Well, we're lucky. I mean, Dr. Charles Turk, who's a regular on the show, has just finally recovered from an injury he sustained during fencing. So hopefully.
Yes, I saw. I think he was able to run for the first time. I saw him post about it.
Yes. So hopefully we can get him on the mats as well. We are talking to Jen Zanotti. She is the host of the brand new podcast on WGN Plus. It's Getting Zen with Gen Z. And she's also a jiu-jitsu instructor at the Serafin Jiu-Jitsu Studio in Evanston. Where can people find out more information about that as well?
They can go to my website at jenzanotti.com, and all my services are on there, the jiu-jitsu classes, my salon services, everything.
Wonderful. We're going to take another break here, and when we come back, Jen wants to tell us about seizing the moment, about telling someone how you feel about them now. That's Jen Zanotti. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea is off just till tomorrow. She'll be back, I promise. More in a moment on 720 WGN. The brand new WGN Plus podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z, launches this Wednesday. Joining us on the line is the host of that new podcast, Jen Zanotti. In studio, we have Elliot Serrano. And you, the way you're structuring this, too, is having experts on to talk about important topics, but you're also encouraging people to reach out to you for questions and comments. How do people contact you for this podcast?
Yeah, people can email me at gettingzenwithgenz@gmail.com. I really want to be able to have the audience participate and have different people on and experts answering questions that people have about anything related to health, fitness, beauty, wellness, self-care, anything. So I really want people to feel like they can get involved.
I, you know, sometimes people laugh at me because they're, you know, whenever I have to stress shop, I don't buy a lot of clothes. I buy lipstick.
That's the most amazing thing. I have one of the podcasts I did recently was with a friend of mine who's a makeup artist. We worked for MAC together years ago. And we talk about how, like, really the simplicity of, like, makeup, it's one of the simple joys in life. But it just makes you feel so good. It makes you feel so happy.
I bought a new lipstick called Bad Blood. I'm not saying it has anything to do with my life right now, but Bad Blood. I think it's by Urban Decay. But anyway, there's something to finding that new shade, something bold. And some people like something subtle. Like my mom had this really beautiful lipstick on the other day, but I just know it wouldn't work on me. Anyway, not getting into the ins and outs of lipstick. But for me, it's why I have a show called Lipstick Mom, because sometimes just something that brightens up my day is just slapping on some color, and it also gives me a chance to not be who I was a moment ago. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. And it's fun. It gives you confidence. You're a different person. When you wear different looks, you can be creative. You can express yourself. So it's something that's easy, and you're able to do it and change it and be a different person every day if you wanted to.
And that's the beauty of it. And you also strike me as somebody who has been able to express themselves. And you must have so much support from your family. Tell us a little bit about how close-knit you are.
Well, we are super close. I mean, my family is everything to me, and it's my sister and I, but we have a big family with aunts and uncles and cousins, and right now we're going through a little bit of a hard time, which I've shared with you, with my Nana, who is my last living grandparent, and probably my closest, but she's just gone through a tremendous time since September, and she suffered her third stroke a couple weeks ago, and she's in hospice. I was like, I can talk about this, and I'm not going to get emotional. Right. But she, we are spending as much time with her as possible right now because we don't know how many moments we'll have left. So, I think it's just made me realize how important it is to tell people that you love them. To be there, you know, family is just such an important thing in life. And, you know, my grandmother's been there for me for, you know, almost 37 years, and she helped raise us, and we're all so close, and she's basically the matriarch of the family. So being able to just give comfort and love and support to those in our lives is, I think, one of the most important things we can do.
I think so, too. And sometimes it becomes sort of, the person that we love or count on, you know, for so many different things in our lives. We take them for not necessarily for granted, but you don't want to think of life as being measured in moments. But it is important to take stock, to be present with somebody when they're with you.
Absolutely. You know, we always think, oh, they're going to be there. Or, oh, I can visit them later, or talk to them later, and we rely on that. But just seeing somebody that you love so much going through a difficult time and being in pain and, you know, being sad, it makes you realize, like, this is what's important. And it really brings, you know, the family together and even closer. It creates a stronger bond. But, just really being present in that time and telling you, you know, I just sit with her and tell her how much I love her and how grateful I am for her, and just surrounding her with kisses, and it's really an important thing, and it's hard seeing that person kind of transition, but ultimately you want them to be as comfortable as possible.
Does that have an impact watching your Nana when you're, you know, thinking about yourself, your health, and knowing that she's lived for such a long time and had such a fruitful life? Does it make you take stock of the way you live your life as well?
Oh, absolutely. I think it really makes me understand the importance of health, but also of, like, my family members and the people around me. I really want to make sure that I can educate and help people feel as healthy as possible, because if we don't have our health, I think that's what scares me the most. You know, if we don't have our health, then, you know, how are we going to survive? We could have everything else in life, but health is the most important thing. Be able to really truly live our lives to the utmost. So I think it's definitely had a huge impact.
Well, and that again brings us back to the podcast that you were launching on Wednesday on WGN Plus is being conscious of all those things, all the elements that go into being healthy. Because, you know, obviously we read all these articles about here are the top 8 foods you should eat to lose your belly fat, or these are the top exercises. And you somehow collect all that information, but are you incorporating it? And not just that, are you doing everything you possible to make sure that you're present in life, whether it's being healthy or being aware of what makes you happy? You know, also, and Jen, maybe we talk about this some other time, avoiding the things that are toxic in your life, right? Because sometimes we do things out of obligation because, there are things we're obligated to do, right? Whether it's family or work, but there are things that we continue to do out of habit that have a negative impact on our health.
Right. They do. And that's a huge stress factor. And we have to, you know, we've talked about this before, but understanding how to detach and really take care of and take, you know, stock of what's important to us. What do we really want to do? Because it's a balance of everything. You know, it's everything in moderation. We could be the healthiest person, but we also have to make sure that we are living life and we're spending time with family. We, you know, balance our stress out. We're doing everything that we need to be as balanced and happy as possible. So it's kind of finding that combination that's going to give you the best lifestyle possible.
Elliot, are you finding balance in your life?
That's a big sigh. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, no, Jen, you're giving me a lot of stuff to think about, a lot of stuff.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good, I hope.
Yeah, let's get Zen with Gen Z coming on Wednesday on WGMPlus.com. Jen, be well, and next time it's not storming, your presence is obviously required in studio.
I miss you guys so much, and I just have to say, Patty, I tell you this all the time, but I love you so much, and if it weren't for you, this podcast would not be happening, because I truly appreciate all your support and the push that you have given me.
It is absolutely.
I thank you for that.
I have the regulars on my show are people I believe in and who I think really have a lot to offer. You know, just not just me. You guys bring a lot to my life. So your success is absolutely part of my happiness. Elliot and Paul and Dr. Turk and Scott Santos. These are people that I've really grown to enjoy having conversations with. So I look forward to all of your wonderful podcast, your success, and I don't know, but there's a low-flying plane in your backyard right now, so be careful.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
I'm sitting outside talking to you right now.
Well, have a great evening.
Thank you guys so much.
Of course, go to jenzanotti.com and find out more about the work that she does, and the email one more time for folks who want to contact you about the podcast.
It's gettingzenwithgenz@gmail.com.
Excellent. Have a great night, Jen. We'll talk to you hopefully next week or something. Whenever you
can. Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Bye, guys.
Bye,
Jen. Hugs.
Hugs. Thank you. Aggressive cuddling some other time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea is off until tomorrow, and we are watching the weather with you. I know that there are folks who are having some standing water in their basements, a lot of water on the roads. Elliot, I want to thank you for trudging down here.
You're welcome.
And making it through the weather.
Well, the thing that was concerning me is that as the rain was coming down and we can look out onto the lake and Navy Pier, I kept seeing boats going out into the lake, and I'm thinking there is potential for a Gilligan's Island scenario happening somewhere. Someone went out for a 3-hour tour. They're not going to come back.
Right, because it's one of those days you take your boat out, you figure out, I don't have that many more days left on the lake. Let's get it out of the harbor. By the way, I meant trudging. I said trudging. I apparently made up my own word. I had to Google it while you were talking there for a moment. It was bothering me. Trudging.
Trudging?
Yeah.
Is trudging an old word?
Walk heavily and firmly as when weary or through mud. So,
yeah. I thought trudging's a word.
Trudging, but I said trudging. Just want you to know. So you're saying you heard trudging?
I heard trudging.
All right. Well, I like to make things up as I go along.
It was like the...
And call attention to it as we...
Right. The spell, continue. You know, like people have a spell check on their phones. Mm-hmm. I have spell hearing in my head.
Well, you autocorrected for me.
I autocorrected your word.
I appreciate that. I was pretty sure
that's
that
what I heard.
Listeners were not going to do that for me, so I decided to go ahead and call attention to my mistake. Maybe it's because I'm not working out enough. I think that's really the problem. Joining us in studio are our friends from Strength in the City. There's a new fitness festival coming up at Northerly Island. That's going to be this, is it Sunday the 9th?
Yes, it is.
I'm very excited. Come closer to your microphone. That's how we'll make you sound there even you better. Go. We've got Liesl in studio. Did I say, no, Liesl. Liesl. I remember, I connected the comparison you told me to use and I didn't like it, so I dismissed it.
Changed my name completely.
No, it's because you said like Lysol, and I'm like, that doesn't seem like a great way to compare your name.
Liesl.
Liesl is a great name, although it makes me think of Sound of Music. I don't know why.
Not that, but I get that a lot.
I'm guessing you do. Before we continue, can I ask about the origin of your name? Because it's
so
beautiful.
So my mom told me that it's her first name and my father's first name split up, put together.
Okay, brilliant. Now I'm even more impressed than before. This is what I wanted to do with my husband's last name. Right?
There you go.
He wouldn't let me do that. Because instead of like taking his last name and my taking, either way, instead of taking my last name, and I have
you wanted to mix it.
I wanted to mix it, and I can't tell you what his last name is, so I'm not allowed to tell. Off the air, I'll tell you what the name would have sounded like. But it sounds like a girl part, so he would something, so he wouldn't let me do it.
Gotcha.
He said no to that. So tell us about Strength in the City and this great fitness festival.
So I came up with this idea because actually the girl sitting next to me, Katie, and I went to a fitness festival in Denver where I originally lived for 2 years. And I came from the West Coast, but I'm born and raised Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And I love the fitness, health, and wellness vibe that the West Coast had. And it was so much fun. So me and her went to this event called Fitness in the Rocks, and we were just dancing and zooming with like thousands of people around us, and I loved that feeling.
That's intense.
It was an awesome feeling. Like, I would look at her, she had a big smile, we were laughing, it was great. I moved back to Chicago for this guy right here next to me.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how are you?
And I was like, you know what, let's bring something different to the city. I haven't seen it outside of marathons and like, you know, the Rugged Warriors and different like, what do you call those?
Fundraisers.
Like the Tough Mudder, thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, something fun that's family friendly that everybody else can enjoy. And I want people to feel the same feeling I felt with a group of, you know, people in a fitness environment. And you don't have to be the fittest person to come to this event.
Good, because Elliot and I then feel more confident in participating in something like this. It is the fitness festival called Strength in the City. It's this Sunday at Northerly Island. And you are giving a discount for kids, as well as for kids under 6 are free, which is fantastic.
Correct.
So bring your kids, get them motivated, have them watch the adults and see how they make fools of themselves and have fun.
Obstacle courses for children too. There are Parachute Kids is curating different classes with their partners all day for the children. So you can drop your kid off at a class and take your own class throughout the day for you. There's a class that you want to jump in.
So fantastic. So there's going to be a variety of interactive workout experiences, fitness adventures, obstacle courses, nutritional workshops, which are led by dozens of Chicago's best trainers, yogis, and healthy eating experts. Tickets are available at strengthinthecity.com. They're $35 in advance, $45 at the gate for adults, but it's only $15 for kids from 7 to 13. And as we mentioned, free for kids 6 and under. For every ticket purchase, Strength in the City is donating $5 to No Kid Hungry, which is a great organization. What made you decide to link up with that group as
I
well?
Went to a Engage for Good. So my company as a whole is called Move the World Operations. It's an event cause marketing agency that gives back to any event or branding campaign that we work on. So for me to grow my company, I went to a seminar called Engage for Good, and I dropped in at one of their, I guess, workshops.
Uh-huh.
And it was No Kid Hungry in Citibank. And I was like, wow, this is such a great cause. And my company as a whole, our mission is always to kind of educate children. And I was like, why not partner with a group that gives back healthy food to children across the nation? So that's why we chose them.
When we come back, I want to talk about encouraging teenagers to listen to advice when you tell them they're planking wrong. We're hanging out with Kevin, Liesl, and Katie. More when we come back in just a moment on 720 WGN. Did I get it right that time?
Sorry, yes,
I was working. I had to close my eyes and think about it. More in a moment on 720 WGN. I feel like, Jeannie, get the word right. I just magically put it in my head. A little bit of, I don't know. I At first, I was like, "What music is this?" Now I'm like, "Oh yeah, we're all just bouncing our heads in the studio." You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea is off till tomorrow. She'll be back, and we look forward to hearing how her vacation was. Elliot Serrano joins me in studio. He is our chief geek officer, and early on in our friendship and our professional exchange as a guest on my show, I made Elliot climb many, 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 many stairs. There was a time you actually climbed one time with food poisoning, didn't you?
Yes, I had food poisoning that day.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't realize until afterwards.
You had climbed, yeah. I think, 110 flights. 110, not flights, floors. 110 floors. That would be incredible.
Very impressive.
I will say, if I could do it with food poisoning, I was like, it's not that bad. Because I was even telling myself, why am I struggling so much right now? Because it wasn't the first time we'd been doing it.
Right.
And I was actually feeling better each time with every progressive session we had.
Right.
And I was like, wow, I'm having a hard time. And then afterwards, well, let's just say I realized after going somewhere to relieve myself. I don't want to get tech.
I knew you were pulling that out. Yeah. I was trying to know. We're tracking. Got it.
But anyway.
Well, Elliot, I think that you and I, once we did that training, and we actually worked with one of the trainers that you have participating at the Strength in the City All Day Festival coming up this Sunday at Northern Ireland. Joey Thurman was our trainer on that. He joined us in the stairwell a few times.
Yeah, I made Joey who he is today.
Yes, yeah. Joey. I think we have audio of Joey agreeing to that assessment years ago.
Tell Joey.
Definitely. I'm going to text him right after we walk out of here.
So you talk to Elliot. Elliot says, "You're welcome for making you the star you are." I'm going to tell you right now how he's going to respond. Ha ha ha, or LOL. And then, like, 10 minutes later, you'll get... Yeah, he was.
Well,
right.
Elliot, then I must say thank you for doing that, because he's definitely doing a great job promoting our event. So yeah. I appreciate that.
And he does a great job on his social media, per Elliot's suggestion several years ago. He's been on, like, is it Good Morning America?
The Today Show.
The Today Show, obviously also a regular on the WGN TV News. He helped Tom Skilling get his nutrition back in line as well. And he'll be offering nutritional information at your event.
Yes, he is. He has his own nutritional workshop space from I think 12 o'clock is his time that he goes on talking about nutrition myths, and he is also emceeing our whole show the whole day and kind of just getting everybody hyped up to work out, eat better, enjoy Northerly Island and the day.
He's a good looking man.
And he's a great motivational expert as
and
well.
And a good looking guy.
A good looking guy, yes. I ain't gonna lie.
He's good looking.
Well, and
I'll be seeing him.
He's very.
Dude, I know where you're at. I'm there all the time.
And in addition to Joey Thurman, you also have, from The Bachelorette, the star and celebrity fitness instructor, Peter Krause. Tell us a little bit about what he's bringing to this event.
So I was very skeptical of bringing him on just because he was on The Bachelorette until I learned his background. And I loved that his lifestyle was about the fitness world, and what he's trying to do is grow his personal training, Peter Krause Fitness. And I was telling my girls, I'm like, you know what? Let's bring him on. He is a Midwestern. He's from, I think, Madison, Wisconsin. So he's driving down on Saturday to come support the event. So I think it's great that we brought on somebody that actually is in the fitness world. Again, Strength in the City is an event that, you know, I want to bring that community together. And he's definitely one of those people that is part of the community that will bring and get the word out to his fans that are in the fitness world.
And you mentioned that he's from the Midwest. You have spent time on the West Coast, and then met Katie in Denver,
actually,
or in Colorado.
She's Midwest too, but we went from San Diego together to Denver. We're those girls that like to jump around, and we made it back home. We made it back home,
nice.
Kind of get her back here together to kind of start working on Strength in the City, as we want to take this nationwide and kind of grow Strength in the City in different cities across the nation.
That's a great idea. Katie, where are you from originally? From Chicago?
Michigan.
From Michigan. Come closer to your microphone so we can hear. Let me see if I don't have that out. Let me see. Go ahead.
Yep, from Michigan.
Where in Michigan?
Grand Rapids.
Oh, I love Grand Rapids. Well, we have a lot of guests that come through from Grand Rapids. So it's such a great, really, the culture and environment in Grand Rapids lends itself to not just fitness, I would imagine, but also to the arts. There's a great support for artists in Grand Rapids. Do you live there still, or where do you live now?
No, I currently live in Aspen.
In Colorado. Yeah. Well, also, obviously, I mean, people who love to hike and bike and be in, you know, near the Rockies. It's just such a gorgeous area. And Kevin, where are you from originally?
Born and raised in Chicago.
What neighborhood?
Western suburbs from Hinsdale.
All right, excellent. Yeah. And now, are you also into fitness? Is it something that you get? Because I need different things to motivate me. This sounds like a fun event that can really recharge people and re-inspire them to be involved.
Absolutely, and that's what I need, a little inspiration. You know, I got caught up with work. Everyone can say that. You know, 90% of the people in the city just got caught up with work and busy, you know, need to find that time. And that's what I need in my life right now.
Well, that's what the brilliance behind calling it Strength in the City. And I'm not saying that people live in rural areas or with bigger open spaces are more fit, but it is easy to kind of be distracted and find other things or, you know, I gotta go down to the lake or I've got to find someplace nice. Because I just end up walking through my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. What I do is I just peep in people's windows. Not... Not in a tawdry way, but to see how they decorate.
You're walking.
Yes, but to see how they decorate. Do you ever do that?
You're like window shopping. Absolutely. At the end of the day. So no harm in that.
Oh, that's an interesting shade they're using their living room. Oh, I love how their layout is. Look where they're. I love how they have an open kitchen area. What? Why are you looking?
See,
at
that's
that?
The strength in the city. You're walking on your neighborhood.
Right.
That's active activities. Daily activities.
Mm-hmm. So it's not peeping. It's just peeking. It's peeking.
when Liesl says. It's window shopping. You go, isn't that what burglars do? Looking in your window.
I was trying to make it sound nice.
No, I'm not. That's scoping. That's scoping out.
I totally got my felonies confused.
Katie, how did you get involved in fitness? Do you have a moment that you remember where you're like, I really love doing this?
I don't know if I ever can say I really love it. I
oh,
love
really?
The feeling after the fact.
Yeah,
and that's
good
why
point.
Liesl's encouraged me to do a lot of things that I normally wouldn't do, like when we went to Fitness on the Rocks. I'm not a dancer. I'm not coordinated at all. And dancing around thousands of other people, flailing like idiots, made me feel comfortable, and it was fun, and I felt good after.
I did Zumba for the first time, and my friends at the Fly Girl Dance Studios in Jefferson Park are outstanding. I had to buy new shoes because I roll my ankles, and I'm like, well, I need high tops if we're gonna do this. No, and then but keeping up, I'm like, I'm just gonna pretend. I mean, that's kind of when it comes to a class like that. As long as you're having fun, just go with it.
When you're moving, your energy is going, you're elevating your heart, you're moving. At the end of the day, just do it.
Yeah, but they're cha-cha-ing and I'm box-stepping and then they're, they're doing something and I'm like, I don't know what that is.
We've all been that person, trust me.
At one point, I remember her, like, not even doing the move, and she's like, you know what, forget it. She just put her hands in the air and just started waving them around, and I'm like, that's all you need to do.
You don't care.
There you go.
I also love that you have an obstacle course. I do CrossFit at Doghouse.
Okay.
And when they do the obstacle courses, it's one of my favorite things. Because even if you can't, you'll see somebody who's incredibly athletic and really fit just power through it. You know, they're jumping over things and swinging on the rings. And I'm kind of like, if I just get through this and don't die, I'm a pretty...
You're accomplished.
Yes. I feel good about that.
You did it.
Tell us about the obstacle course that you guys have.
So... It's a lot of people have been telling me I'm crazy for putting it together because it's a little more extreme. They're like, is this for the everyday person? Or
yes, it is.
For,
I'm going to say even
it
though,
is. Yeah. It definitely is. I think any person can do it. Even a child can do it if they wanted to come in and do it. Of course, of over a certain age. But it goes from the lagoon in Northerly Island. You do a stand-up and paddle with Chicago SUP, who they're donating the boards for us to use for the event. You go around a buoy, come back to land, and run a little... sprint. It took me 2.5 minutes to walk it, so I'm assuming the fastest runner can run that in 20-30 seconds.
Right.
To a obstacle court BAM creates, produced for us. It goes from a monkey bars, tire run, balance beam to an under net crawl or crawl under the net, whatever you call that. And then we have a inflatable obstacle course by the Fun Ones called the Rugged Warrior, and it's an 85-foot rugged warrior obstacle course that you end going down a slide. So it's a long course, but I mean, we are fair. If people can't do something, we just add 10 minutes to your time. And then the winner of the obstacle course, there are different prizes. First place prize is a $500 Visa gift card plus a $350 Sigma Fit backpack, which is an amazing backpack by one of our sponsors.
This is one of the things where I think my coaches hate me is that I never, because they have a board, right? And they'll keep track of how much you lifted and how long it took you to do something. And I try to leave before I have to answer those questions because I just feel good having done it.
That's all
right?
You need to do. Actually, exactly. We just did a course with one of our instructors that is instructing at Strength in the City, Sunny. there was a point where I'm like, God, I can't do this anymore. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go 10 and 3 and not do 20 and 5. And I still am there. I'm doing it. And it doesn't matter if you do all of it. At the end of the day, you're doing it. You
exactly.
Know? Just get out and walk. I'm
still sore.
It's hard for us to get up.
And I do think that making it different, you know, mixing it up and finding new and unique ways to stay fit. I think that's why people love mudding, right? It's just sort of this fun, messy, exhilarating way to stay in shape. It's why I like doing the stair climbing. I'm not a marathon runner, but if there's something you know you hate, you know, maybe incorporate it, like find a way to do it once in a while, admit that you hate it, but also know that you're going to be done once you finish. Right.
I mean, I don't like working out. I love doing activities. So for me, I love playing volleyball once a week, and that still counts for me as doing something. I don't know why I'm the only one sweating on the field, but I'm always the only one sweating when I play. But I feel like anything, like waking up and biking in the morning, taking the dog for a walk, even if it's a 5-10 minute walk, that's something that I'm adding into my day that I usually never would. So it's kind of nice to know that. Like, the reason for this event is for people to know what's in their city.
Right.
And what to do in their city. Like, every time I tell people it's at Northerly Island, they're like, where is that? I'm like, are you guys crazy?
Tell people where it is.
It's Northerly Island. It's right by the museum campuses and Soldier Field. It's in that area. But it's a beautiful, beautiful park. It has a great little path around the lagoon. And then you also can work out with the skyline behind you. Love our city again. You just look at it and you're like, this is why we live here.
So a great way to get there is probably biking.
Bike, definitely, right off Lakeshore Drive, the bike paths, and there is parking. There are 65 spots that you can park right up at Northerly Island, the park itself, and then if there's no space, we do have parking at Huntington Bank Pavilion, which is right in front of it.
Excellent. And where can people get information for tickets?
The tickets are on www.strengthinthecity.com, and you can scroll up, look at the schedule, and then hit the ticket button, and it takes you right to the ticket events.
Excellent. And how do people keep in touch with all the things that you're doing? Are you going to have upcoming
events?
We're
definitely going to have upcoming events. We're working on our next stuff that we're going to be doing in December and then also in 2019. So everybody keep an eye out on our website. We'll definitely keep you guys' update.
And we'd love to have you back. And don't forget, once more time, it's Strength in the City, the all-day fitness festival this Sunday, September 9th at Northerly Island, as Lysel told you. It is near the near Soldier Field, all the museum campus, right, all the great area. It's just a great way to explore your city next Sunday as well. It's a family-friendly, experiential fitness and wellness event. There's going to be all kinds of workout experiences, fitness adventures, obstacle courses, as we mentioned, nutritional workshops led by dozens of Chicago's best trainers, yogis, and healthy eating experts. So go to the website, strengthinthecity.com.
Correct.
And get more information. And you can also say hi to our good friend Joey Thurman, as well as learn something new from the Bachelorette star and celebrity fitness instructor Peter Krause. Thank you so much, you guys, for joining us.
Thank you.
Kevin,
I think Peter is still single.
Yep, I think he is too.
I don't think Joey is. We met his fiance.
Yeah, he's got a baby.
What?
Yes,
I didn't know that. Why isn't he doing workouts with like a big baby papoose on like the pouch on his back?
Oh, he should. And he'll get even more followers on social media by doing that. Yeah.
Is Northerly Island formerly Meg's Field before
yes,
I go to the
correct.
Break? There you go. So it is formerly, that's all I was just saying. They should have just called it Meg's Field, but they didn't want planes to land there. I can understand that.
Man.
It is time now for our news. Thank you guys so much
for joining us. Thank you for having us.
And let us know about upcoming events. We'd love to have you back
in. We want to see you there on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll see how motivated I am. Have you ever been so tired that when someone says something to you, you respond as though you're talking to your significant other, as I just did to Elliot Serrano? So when I talk to my husband, I might call him baby. Yeah, baby. And you said something, and I turned to you and I said, yes, baby. And
I thought we were back in the 70s, the 60s, the 70s.
Baby.
I considered a term of endearment.
Hey,
that's fine.
I'm a little fatigued. I have not slept in my own bed since August 23rd was the last time. And even then, because my husband and I have been, we're taking turns as Declan is in recovery at the hospital. We took turns at the hospital and sleeping on the couch next to his bed. As it turns out, my husband cannot sleep when, you know, first of all, I was really worried about him and there's a lot of machines going off and the nurses are in and out. They do vitals and they give medications and stuff. I don't know if you're surprised to learn this about me, but I can sleep anywhere. I think I've actually slept better in the hospital than I have at home. But I'm still I'm sleeping on a inflatable like mattress pad sort of thing. It's like a it's got little ridges in it on top of the couch. The woman who the nurse who checked us in and kind of got us settled in to the hospital told me right away. She said most parents bring an inflatable mattress because this couch is so uncomfortable. And to this morning she was there again and she goes, I think you've been here every night for over a week. She goes, how do you sleep on that thing? And I told her that I'm a third shifter. I mean, I for the last 4 or 5 years, I've been working until 3 or 4 in the morning, so I can sleep anywhere. She was just really surprised by that.
Well, you've also been, you travel a lot.
Yes.
And I know in your kind of your career, it's not like you've always had the ideal conditions.
No, this couch is a step up from trains and planes and sleeping in cars. So yes, I, yeah, you're right. This couch is really, you know what? I'm actually falling asleep to a really dark series on Netflix. I fall asleep to shows. I used to fall asleep to talk shows, to radio, but because I keep thinking of what I would say, I can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to call in and say something. So I listen to Nick for as long as I can. I don't know if Nick D knows this, but I'm often texting his show. I'm not going to tell Nick or Dan Shagru that I use a different number. I use my husband's phone to text his show so they don't know it's me, just in the off chance. Like one of them is like, hey, that number looks familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So I text from a different line. But yeah, anyway, so I have been falling asleep to a show called The Sinner, which Jen Zanotti told me to watch. It's a really dark. Here, the first episode, a woman, it starts a little slow and dark, a little dreary, you know, just kind of going through the day of this woman's life that, you know, she's working and dealing with her mother-in-law and taking care of her son, her child, and she's with her husband, and then they're at the beach, and she goes on this, and I'm not giving away anything that is not in the synopsis for the first episode. So this is what happens, the sort of big catalytic moment in the first episode is part of the description. So they're at the beach, and she's swimming out in this open lake, and it reminded me of when I was younger. I used to love swimming in the open lake and just think about things and sort of, you know, process. She comes back. She's on the shore, and Elliot, out of nowhere, she stabs a guy to death. That's the first episode.
I frequently want to stab people after going for a swim.
So it's a family show. Then,
it is a family. It's a family
is that
show.
What you're saying? Okay.
Yes, it's an.
I'm just wondering.
And it is. You know, I was watching it. And there's this guy in the car watching a woman through a window, and I thought, who is this guy? He looks kind of creepy and stuff. And he turns out to be somebody who plays a cop, and it's Bill Pullman. It's the president from Independence Day.
We will not go into that night. No.
Yeah.
So yes, I've been following it. So I'm fascinated because he's really good in this. He's the cop who thinks there's more to this story. Obviously, there were dozens of witnesses who saw her take her knife that she'd been peeling fruit with a minute ago and just stab this guy in the neck and then just keep stabbing him. But Bill Pullman's character thinks that there's more going on, and that's the scene. But I have not seen a full episode yet. Although I've gone through 7 or 8 of them because I keep waking up. I just let it run.
Ah.
So it's feeding my consciousness. Unfortunately.
Is Bill Pullman like, is he the typical cop who thinks there's something else? He's got all these empty coffee cups. He hasn't shaved or showered for a couple of weeks.
Roger, I don't know if you want me to.
Cigarettes and all that stuff.
It's a little more than that.
Oh, my goodness.
It looks as though he's in the middle of a separation while he also has a woman with whom he enjoys being punished by.
Oh, so again, it's a family show.
He's got a dom relationship, so that's
my goodness.
He's a sub.
Yeah, Jesus. He's a sub. Yeah, he's definitely. Yeah,
we've never seen a cop show like that before.
He walked in this woman's kitchen and they're talking, and she's like, "It's been a while, whatever." Right, and he says, "Thank you," and she just full on slaps him across the face, and I'm like, "The president in an event say would not stand for this." A listener from the 630 asks about my son. My son Declan has. So I actually posted something about this. You can check out WGN Radio's Facebook page as well as as the Patty V Show page. Something I've never really been, I think, clear about is the disorder that Declan was born with. He was born with a birth defect known as agenesis of the corpus callosum. And often when I post videos, I post them as, you know, when Declan's out walking and exploring and things, I call them walking with autism videos, because autism is the easiest way for me to have a conversation with people. They don't, you know, agenesis of the corpus callosum is a mouthful, but what it means is that part of his brain did not fully form. There are these fibers that connect the left side with the right side of your brain, and that is what really makes it possible for all of your development, including your fine motor skills, your verbal skills, your gross motor skills, and Declan's missing part of that. And in addition to that, a lot of children who are born with this deformity or this the underdevelopment of their brain also suffer from different physical conditions that impede their development further. And for Declan, it manifested in hypotonia, which means that his muscles didn't fully develop. So he's not terribly so. Supporting his skeletal is very complicated for him. It affects his balance. He can't walk very well. Many of you know that my son is not verbal, and part of that is also the hypotonia. You need so many muscles in order to develop language skills. You need your neck muscles, your jaw muscles, your tongue. There's so much. Then on top of that, also your brain has to send that message to those muscles to function, and whether or not he can understand language is another complication. But on top of all of that, Declan also has severe scoliosis, and he had a curvature of over 100 degrees. And that meant that at some point, on the right side, his spine was actually curving into his lungs and was impeding his ability to pull in air fully. He wasn't able to breathe properly, and oxygen was not processing the way it should. So, you know, when you squeeze your finger and, like, you have that, it pinks up really fast. Like, when you squeeze it and let go, it pinks up pretty quickly. Declan's fingers weren't doing that as well as they should. And what I found out afterwards, Elliot, after the surgery, you know, I didn't Google before. I learned that when Declan was born, don't go down the rabbit hole that is Google, because you'll be terrified. But what I found out after his surgery was that the curvature, the degree to which Declan had the curvature, actually could have stopped his heart, because it was impacting his organs negatively. So the surgeons went in, and they were able to fuse, it's a spinal fusion, two chrome titanium rods to his spine. And now Declan has to learn all over again how to walk, and he's very confused. There's no way to explain to my beautiful 13-year-old boy what has happened to him. When he opened his eyes, he just looked at us like, why? I mean, we don't know if that's what he was saying, but he was very confused. He continues to recover. He has been in the hospital for over 11 days, and he's making progress. He's been able to sit up. He's been able to take a couple steps, which was not the case in the days following the surgery. Many people who are recovering from spinal, I'm telling you guys a lot without, I'm trying not to get emotional, because I'm kind of in the thick of it, and I know that this can be heavy stuff, but in the days after a spinal surgery, many patients are able to walk within a day or 3 days. Many of them are discharged from the hospital in under 7 days. Some of them as little as 3 days. Declan's going to take a little more time, because he has so many other things complicating his recovery. And they also had to stop the surgery mid-surgery because there were complications. So we are handling all of that. He has been giggling once in a while, so that's always good to hear. He's starting to be able to hold down food. Also good stuff. So thank you so much for asking. And those of you who have sent your prayers and hugs, greatly appreciate it as well. Let's take a break here and continue our conversation. We're looking forward to talking to our friends from Walter E. Smith. I know we have Maureen here. Wait till you, Colleen and Katie are going to come in and make fun of me for my tiny, tiny little couch that I have that someday will be an adult couch. More in a moment on 720 WGN, but we want to find out about the great work that Walter E. Smith did at a school to redecorate a teacher's lounge, because they deserve it. Come back at you in a moment. Over 450 flights have been canceled at O'Hare Airport. I know there's flooding throughout the Chicagoland area. I hope that you are dry tonight. Some heavy rains bringing in some disastrous results for folks. We also earlier were talking about whether or not you are clearing the drains on your street. And a listener texted that if you are doing that, if you are clearing the drains, it will send way too much water too fast into the system, which ends up in Chicago basements. And that's from Mike in Lakeview. And I don't have anything to counter that except that we have not flooded in many years. And neither has anybody. I haven't seen, you know, when your neighbors flood. Because they have all the rugs out in the alley. They've got furniture out there. They're ripping stuff out. They've got to pull out wood, you know, like if you have any wall boards up. So I don't have to tell you except that we do clear our drains and nobody on our block has been flooding. So for me, that's kind of a if-then. If you clear your drains, then your basement doesn't flood. And that's been the case. In addition to having PermaSeal come in and fix two of the cracks in our basement. But I know some of it called and then hung up.
Yeah. No, I thought that's why we had that giant
deep tunnel
right. Created to handle the flooding.
It does, and it has been, but there are still pockets of the city that are still prone because of their location, and the deep tunnel is not for the entire city.
Right.
It is to handle the overflow, and it's done its job. The problem is it can only handle so much. It's not an unlimited space. The same problem that you have on your street when there's a tremendous downpour and the gratings going down into the sewer can't handle the flood of the water, and, you know, it starts piling up and around the corners of the street and,
right.
and the sidewalk. The same thing happens to a deep tunnel. It's starting to get so much water that everything that this project was planned for 30 years ago, it's changed.
Right.
So it was built for stuff from 30 years ago or so, and now things are different. So it's either they have to build more receptacles, try to direct the floodwaters to different locations where they can handle the floodwaters. But there are still issues. I think they just fixed one near the, I still call it the Sanitary Canal. You can call it the Chicago River North Branch if you want to. But I think there was one the city just fixed that was constantly flooded, no matter what they did. And now apparently they've done something that corrects that problem. I think it was up near Channel 11 area up there, up north.
Hmm.
I don't know, but suddenly Deep Tunnel sounds like the name of an action disaster film starring Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, well, let's do it.
Or Bruce Willis.
Ooh. Deep Tunnel. He's like Bruce Willis is he's like a sanitation worker. He's trying to tell City Hall that if they don't get their act in order, Chicago's going to flood and no one listens to him.
Do you know where the bodies are buried?
Ooh.
Deep Tunnel.
Ooh, Dennis Quaid. Could Dennis Quaid be in the running for this?
Oh, that would be awesome. No, Bill Pullman.
Get Bill Pullman. Yeah. Yes.
He'll talk in his
as the befuddled head of the Department of Sanitation.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you
I like that. Right. I like the casting on this a lot. This is maybe Sharon
Stone. I used
to
work for that department, by the way.
You for which sanitation?
Department of Streets and Sanitation.
Okay, so
I was in charge of the public relations for inspectional services.
So what are your thoughts on clearing those grates?
Get out there with a broom and a shovel and clear the grates, people.
Right? Okay, so my friends from my neighborhood, Norwood mm-hmm. Park, posted, you know, the city's not doing their job. But they can't be on top of every leaf and stick and twig and clump of
dirt.
They
come out three times a year mm-hmm. during when the snow's clear and when the snow's come. At least three times a year with the street sweepers to clean the streets. And they tell you, you know, they post the signs.
Right.
We're doing this side of the street on Wednesdays and that side of the street on Thursdays. Get your car out of here so we can clean the streets. And how many times do you walk down the street and there's always one car that hasn't been moved because for some reason they haven't seen the sign? So that's beside the point. But they can't clean everything in between those. It's
right.
not their job. They're in charge of taking care of the garbage twice a week if you have city garbage service. They're in charge of taking care of the rat problem. They're in charge of removing, like, from these storms. That department is in charge of coming out. I think they subcontract to come out and clean the big branches, cut off the branches and get them off your cars and clean those out of the streets. So they're and to pave the streets, and so and they're doing it with limited staff.
Can you imagine?
I'm not defending necessarily the city for not keeping everything perfect 100% of the time.
But how can you keep every leaf? Because that
you can't.
It takes just a couple days for the buildup of leaves in your street and many, garbage and things like that.
How many people have lawn care services where they come along with the blowers and blow everything back into the street?
Yeah, well,
which you're not supposed to do.
Well, and Roger, to that, there was a bit of a, let's say, kerfuffle between a neighbor and me. And so I woke up one morning to the sound of a leaf blower, and he was out there, and it was like one of these massive, like, he looked like he was in Ghostbusters, and he was taking on the demon dogs or whatever.
Right.
Zool,
right? Yeah. He's out there, and he's just blowing all the leaves off of his lawn into into the street.
Yeah, okay? That's illegal.
Okay, so he's out there, you know, just as mad. I was like, what is going on out there? So later on, The street cleaners came by, and we used to have a ginkgo biloba tree in front of our house, which produced massive amounts of berries. Uh-huh. And the street cleaners came by, and he goes, hey, we're going to make another pass because we don't feel like we got everything. But the guy with the big leaf blower had put his SUV back out in front of his house thinking they were done.
Right.
So, being the neighbor that I am, I just trotted up the block. Elliot, tell people what I'm doing.
You're trotting right
now. I'm trotting up the block. And I ring his bell.
Yeah.
And he opens his door, and I go, hey, the street cleaners are going to come by again. Maybe you want to move your truck. And he said, and I can't use language, he said, go effity yourself.
And sweetheart, isn't he?
And then he shut his door. And I'm standing there, I was like, what? I don't. Hey, the street cleaners are coming by. You might want to move your truck. And he just told me to go F myself. And I was so dumbfounded. I was trying to put those two ideas together. Well, then later he came out because the street cleaners were coming by, and I explained that he told me to go F myself, and because I had to tell somebody, and he came out yelling at me, and the guys said, well, this house over here, pointing to his, had leaves in the street illegally. Clearly, someone was leaf blowing, and then the guy just turned around and walked back into his house.
And that is a scene from Deep Tunnel.
Deep Tunnel.
Starring Bruce Willis.
You know what I said? I said effity bye.
No, you said yippee-ki-yay. Effity bye.
Let's go to the news. I want to check in with our friends from Walter E. Smith. We've got Maureen, Colleen, and Katie joining us in studio. They did a great thing for Teachers Lounge. There are two schools that have merged, and there was a lot of conversation about that, and they wanted to make sure that the teachers felt supported so they could support the students in those schools. Tonight, we are counting down the minutes during which our Chicago Public School students can enjoy their freedom. Griffin's going to get ready for his very first day of high school. In just a little bit, he's going to go to bed. He's going to wake up a high school student. It's a crazy night, Elliot.
Well, he's been through how many orientations now, and he should know everything. Yeah, and you know, it should be like nothing. He should be like walking in, big man on campus. And
no,
like he owns a place.
I don't know about that. You know? Freshman year is it can be very daunting. It depends on how you go into it. And the beginning of the school year is important, obviously, for the students. But we want our teachers to feel as though they are important and special. And I was thrilled to find out from my friends from Walter E. Smith that they had done something wonderful for the Teachers Lounge at the new Jenner Ogden School. They've blended. We don't know what the new name is, but we have Maureen, Colleen, and Katie in studio with us from Walter E. Smith. I believe that you know the founder of the furniture company, Walter E. Smith. Is this someone we're familiar with?
Actually, we don't know him because he was our great grandfather.
Was he your great grandfather?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he passed away in the 70s.
Before your time.
Before our time.
What a legacy he's left for everyone, though.
It's pretty incredible.
It's a wonderful thing when a family business has generations of people who want to be involved, who want to carry on that name. And it was a pleasure to meet both Katie and Colleen at our open house. I didn't have a chance to meet you, but they told me about what was going on at Jenner Ogden. Tell us a little bit. Who wants to tell me about what happened with the two schools merging?
I'll take that one.
All right.
Excellent. So a couple years ago, the two schools decided to put their resources together, if you will. So Ogden is the Chicago Public School on the Gold Coast, and it was overcrowded and doing very well academically. And Jenner was kind of in the shadow of the old Cabrini Green housing project, and it was very under-enrolled. So it was kind of like, let's solve two problems here.
Within blocks of each
other. Within less than a mile of each other. So you can, the CPS can spend millions of dollars increasing the size of Ogden while Jenner sits a couple blocks away, literally half unused.
Okay.
Or we put the two together. And so after many years and many debates, it's finally happening tomorrow,
what?
Which is really exciting. So the Ogden School on the Gold Coast will be essentially the elementary school, while Jenner will turn into the middle school, and it will serve 5th through 8th grades.
Including kids from the Gold Coast and from the community that was formerly the Cabrini-Green neighborhood.
Correct, correct. And so actually, Ogden serves Gold Coast, and it has kind of a gerrymandered district, if you will. But it serves a very diverse Ogden, as it stands or as it stood, was the 10th most diverse school in the district. So mixing Jenner in just kind of makes everything a lot better for everybody. It's a great merger, a great solution, in my opinion. And it's Walter E. Smith Furniture. We are just more looking for a way to let the teachers and everybody know that their community supports them. They've got the love and the energy and the hope of their whole city behind them.
Yeah.
As I think most schools do at the beginning of the year.
Well, and I also think that it is an opportunity, hopefully, for other communities to learn from one of the wealthiest neighborhoods that has bordered an incredibly impoverished neighborhood and how we can move forward as a city.
Exactly.
I mean, we talk about this a lot. I live, I'm so far removed. My neighborhood, Jefferson Park, is far, so far away. Mm-hmm. And there are arguments about whether or not we should open up and make opportunities for people from other communities. And there's a lot of resistance. And this is something where you were so close to each other. I hope that people will look at this and say, okay, if they can do this in the Gold Coast, we can do it anywhere.
And that's kind of what I'm viewing this as is, there's so much riding on this, not just for two schools, but I think for the city and for the country. That I have so much faith in the leadership at the schools, I don't think they will let this merger fail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that everybody's going to be putting so much effort and love and enthusiasm into it that I don't see it doing anything but good for all of the students involved.
That's incredible.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I want to hear more as the progress goes. And it's going to take years to really know.
It will.
But the first year is going to be something that we want to pay attention to and see how we can do this in other communities. Colleen, so were you part of the, I know you guys were loading in on Friday, I think I saw. No, Thursday you were heading over, right?
It was Friday, actually.
Friday morning.
So Maureen and Katie were in charge of that day. They were there really taking care of making sure that the truck arrived on time and the teacher's lounge looked perfect and comfortable and welcoming for all the teachers when they came in. My role was really just supporting what Maureen had going on with this. She came to us with the idea to help support Jenner, and I just wanted to help her make sure that this was going to be something that we would all be proud of in the end, and that these teachers would feel, they would feel really special, and like Maureen said, they would feel that love from their community. And I do think that's how they felt when they walked in. They all seemed very happy in that new space, and they're going to be happy when they start school tomorrow there.
That's so cool. And Katie, what kind of elements did you guys pull together to create that environment? Because we think of teachers' lounges, from Welcome Back, Cotter, like some odds and ends chairs.
Yeah.
That's exactly how
it was.
Really?
Those poor teachers.
Exactly.
We wanted it to be beautiful and functional and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I really think we achieved all three of those things. We did a massive sectional that's really deep, too. I mean, it's as deep as a twin-size bed. So, I mean, a teacher could legitimately take a nap on it, which they probably will have to do every now and then.
Sure.
And then we had, we did three really large dining tables, like round dining tables, so which are conversational. And I'm just picturing them eating there and hanging out. And, they all just, when they came in, too, they just all seemed like they're a really close, tight-knit group. So I think they're going to have a lot of good times in there.
I think so, too.
Yeah, we also want to make it beautiful, too. So we didn't want to make it feel like the sterile environment you just described. And we just had, we even accessorized it. We had finishing touches. And
Look, if the newsroom is any indication of what you guys do, because that transformed just on one wall, right? And in the WGN newsroom, we obviously have all of our workstations and Roger's, bountiful buckets of candy. Is Roger's not out back? Do you guys see all
it
the...
It is everywhere.
I thought those were Walter Jacobson's buckets of candy.
It's all Rogers. Roger has them shipped specially to the station. But there's a bit of like there's class and elegance, but a little bit of whimsy that you guys brought into the newsroom that was just so perfectly tailored for what they need. Right, because
we met with the ladies in there, like Judy Pilek, and they just had so much bubbly personality that we couldn't just throw anything in there. So Katie had the great idea.
It couldn't be sterile.
It could not. Katie had the great idea to put those amazing bone inlay chests in there, which I think just kind of turned the space from boring to really special very quickly.
No, but functional, because the first thing I heard when I came in here for the open house the other night was that immediately the news one of the news anchors,
Judy,
she scouted out which drawer was going to be
hers. They were fighting over the drawers.
Yes,
they were.
Well, one of the
drawers.
There
was a cat fight in the newsroom.
well, now they have the printer on one of
the news they don't report.
Walter E. Smith causing drama. News at 6. It's wonderful, you guys. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the offices too. Again, we're talking to Maureen, Colleen, and Katie from Walter E. Smith. Colleen and Katie told me that someday my couch will grow up to be an adult couch. I don't know that Maureen has seen it yet. It's so very, very sad.
It's cute.
It's cute if that's what
it
you
has a little happy
for.
Pillow.
I know my little.
I send some quotes around that too?
It's adorable.
It's cute.
I think there's a couple quotes in that office too, like the little pillow that says happy.
It does. It says happy on the pillow because if you say it, maybe you'll believe it.
put it in the universe.
You're right. You got to put it out there in order to enjoy it. More with our guests when we come back. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea. If you follow WGN Radio on our Facebook page, I'm sure you've seen the video of Rokan receiving a spectacularly beautiful Carnarvon wagon, and that was brought in by our friends from Walter E. Smith. He had this, like, it was a metal and glass Carnarvon, which was fine. It had been, it had served its purpose, but you guys brought in this gorgeous, it's wood, it's elegant. Now he always stocks it. Do you know how hard it is, Elliot, to walk by Ro's office? And he's got Tullamore Dew whiskey in there. He's got all kinds of like gin and vodkas.
And it's all locked up, darn it.
Yeah. Oh.
It's a glass window, right?
It is a glass window. I think you need a Carnarvon wagon
of your own.
Come
on now.
So I do in my office have a little couch. And you guys have come in, and I thought that the work you guys did, one with Rose, Carnarvon wagon, those cute benches like those for Bill and Wendy's show, and I think I saw it in Steve Cochran's window as well.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really, really cute. And they also have the element of blue that obviously we carry through the station.
Yeah. Yep.
So I was just noticing that.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad that you noticed that. That was one of our little thoughtful details.
A lot of clients bunch those together for a cocktail table.
Well, that's smart.
Super cute. Yeah.
Well, I came in the day of our open house, Elliot, there's a really cool photo. I want to say the early 1900s. It's a shot of the Wrigley Building, not unsimilar to what we would have seen from the Tribune Tower. And it was on my couch. It's a really cool shot. And I was like, oh, someone gave me a photo. But the couch is so small, it actually looks like it's just a ledge for the photo. Because it was leaned up on my couch. I'm like, and someone found a use for my little couch.
You need
to
post a picture of the little couch on your Facebook.
We all want to see it.
Happy little couch.
Yeah, I regret not doing an unboxing.
That would have been good.
You would have had all the 10-year-olds watching that unboxing video.
I'm saying, because Scott Santos and I were unboxing it, and we were constantly thinking, well, there has to be more to this. Are we missing a box? Is there something else? What do we do with this? And all the parts, like all the screws and all the washers and everything and the bolts, were inside the couch.
Oh, so you had to put it together, too? I thought that thing just kind of folded open.
No, we had to put the legs on, and the legs are only about like 5 inches.
So how much time did you invest in the assembly?
15 minutes, maybe.
Okay, that's not brutal.
No, I thought you
were going to tell me it was like an 8-hour.
Yeah, okay.
No, but everyone stood in the doorway of my office and went, interesting choice.
Oh. Yeah.
So I went out and I bought. I was doing the floors in my bathroom, and I was out at Hobo's, and I got three pillows, and now everyone's like, oh, I like what you did with the pillows. I'm working on it. I'm just, you use what you got.
You accessorized it well. Yeah. You did accessorize it well.
Well, I look forward to putting that portrait up. I'm actually also thinking about...
Oh, you haven't hung it up yet?
No, because I...
There was supposed to be...
Katie,
I was going to say, you can't sit on your little couch then. It's like an easel.
We sit around it. We just all pose. No, it's very, very...
They were supposed to hang that up for you. I asked the guy hanging them up, and he said he was going to take care of it. So.
Yeah, I think they stopped at the... there's a divider, right? So there's the Ro Khan show across from the John Williams show. These are all our offices. Uh-huh. And then there's a Steve Cochran show, the Bill and Wendy show. Then you have our bosses. You have Stephanie and then Todd, right? And then there's a door, there's a wall, and then it's me and Nick D on the other side of the wall. So I don't think that they made it past that wall, is what I'm saying.
Well,
yes,
working their way down.
It's yes, exactly. We will. I know that Marlene will get on that for me.
I know you better tell Marlene that you're next.
I will. Marlene did tell me in no uncertain terms not to ask for anything until 2019.
That's like 4 months away, right? 3 months away. You're there.
Exactly, right? Yeah. I'm not pushing it. I'm happy to be right where I am. But I want to talk about because you obviously took on the Jenner Ogden School Teachers Lounge as a passion project. What are the kinds of things you find in the community that you guys are able to get in there and make a difference? Because we think of decorating as a sort of like, oh, that seems like a nice idea, but it changes the way you occupy a space, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
We actually recently partnered with Folds of Honor. They're an organization that helps provide educational assistance to the families of fallen and disabled military heroes. So we partnered with them in a way it was very different from anything we've done before. Nice. What they do is they built a spec home out in Johnsburg, Illinois. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's kind of far out there.
Suburban McHenry.
Yeah, suburban McHenry. So they built the spec home out there, and how they built it was all through donations. So donated time, labor, materials, this entire, $430,000 house, all of it was donated. We came in to help stage it in the end, and Katie and another designer, Meg Calloway, out of our Arlington Heights showroom, helped to stage it just to really make sure it could get top dollar when it sells. Every single penny from that sale then will go toward funding these scholarships.
Oh, that's great.
So it's a really cool organization. They're doing something different, and they really have identified something that these families need. It's not a short-term fix. It's something that's going to help them in the long run, and that's giving them an education, and that's priceless. People need that. So it was a really neat organization to partner with.
I love that.
Yeah.
And when it comes to decorating, what do you want to tell people? Because they're afraid to take chances for the most part, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Whether it's color or different elements. You guys put like white fuzzy pillows on that couch, which it adds a little bit of whimsy to it.
Exactly.
Which people when they come in there, they're in awe of how cool it is. And it's so surprising.
Well, we've kind of seen, over the last 5 years, it's just everything going out in our warehouse is gray or beige. And in the past, like I would say 6 months or so, we're seeing a lot more color going out to our clients' homes.
Oh, great.
And to me, that just is kind of like, I don't know, is it a sign of the times? Are people becoming more optimistic now? What is this a reflection of?
Right.
I don't really know, but it certainly is fun to see, watching that go into the trucks every day.
Now, are all three of you moms?
We are.
You're all three of you moms. Yes. So how does that affect the way you buy furniture? Because I refuse to buy anything new until my kids stop spilling stuff.
Well, we've been really big into worry-free furniture lately.
Okay.
So it's all the fabric, that you can pour a glass of wine on it and it just falls right off, or tea or whatever.
It's glorious. It's glorious. I have three kids. Frosting. Maureen has six kids. Katie has five.
What?
And yeah. Uh-huh.
And I asked them what their nutrition plan was, because these are some lean women. These are... They are
chasing kids.
Yeah. Chasing kids.
Chasing kids.
All right. What, Elliot?
Don't you all watch TV? I mean,
do something else besides.
Yeah. Because
sometimes,
sometimes
when there's time.
Well, I love how worry free means, well, I spilled some wine on the couch.
I mean, maybe if people
crayons,
are drinking
markers.
Wine when their kids are around, I don't know who does stuff like that.
But. Well, I was going to say, I said that when the kids stop spilling stuff, but I was thinking of how many times Steve and I have spilled wine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Adults are equal offenders. You can't just blame the kids or the pets.
Good point.
But we filmed a commercial with a white sectional with worry-free fabric on it, and we can personally attest to its performance.
Mm-hmm. Test it out.
We spilled red wine on it, a big deep dish Chicago pizza on it. We had my dog, we got his paws all muddy and he ran across it.
Maureen has
Maureen's
twins
got
and they
twin 1-year-olds and they drew all over it with markers. Like, What else did we do?
It all came
everything
we,
literally
it looks
came
brand new.
Because we had to keep filming it. So
sure.
We had, it had to wash out.
So when you say that it's worry-free, but you do all those things, so what are the... I mean, there has to be some... I mean, it's not just like scrape it off.
It's got like a... It's actually like a technology, really, like that's... In the last few years, really improved. I mean, mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy. It's awesome. But they basically build in the stain protectant into the fabric. And it's all somehow green certified, too. It's very cool.
Excellent. Yeah.
So it's like it's safe, too. It's not like, you know, you're thinking about kids using it. You don't want to worry about weird chemicals.
No, but
that was my first thought when I heard about
it.
I was like, well, what kind of crazy chemicals are they spraying on this? Mm-hmm. And it's actually all very green and healthy and safe.
Do you have any opinions on how to decorate a bachelor's apartment?
Black leather.
Lots of leopard. Satin.
Yeah,
all right, I'm going to...
Turntable beds.
We have... What was that?
Nothing.
That was Colleen.
How about like a hanging bed? Does anybody do those?
That's crazy.
Are water beds... Could you even still buy a water bed if you wanted to?
I don't know.
Or what about like a circular bed?
Exactly.
Where do you get the bedding for that?
On a rotating platform?
Yeah.
Is that a problem for anybody? Hi, Elliot.
Hi.
Was this a question for Elliot?
No, it's for... No, because I have Paul Farvar coming in, and I'm wondering if you can help him. And he's not like... He's not trying to be in a long-term relationship.
Well, then get a circular bed. That'll make sure that happens. Yeah.
With mirrors all around.
Yeah, a circular water bed, rotating water bed.
Man, we're going to have a
conversation. From the rafters.
I think that what you want out of life, you can also put out into the universe through the way you decorate.
Yeah,
do you want to hang out for another segment?
Yeah, sure.
We'll talk to Paul?
We're good.
And tell him how to maintain his bachelorhood.
We would love to talk to Paul about how to scare off women. Through decorating.
But not immediately. He seems to like, he has said in the past that his threshold is about, well, he's shaking his head at me. Come on in, Paul.
Come on in, Paul.
It's like a 4-day
commitment-free apartment.
Come on in. He needs an apartment where after 3 months, she's okay to be like, we're done here. Come on in, have a seat, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
We're gonna have a conversation about decorating a bachelor pad when we come back after. Your bachelor pad. So far, we've had black leather. I believe the idea of a water bed, but we're not sure if you can still buy one of those, but possibly a circular bed. I think with a rotating platform, but that seems weird. Elliot has thrown in ceiling mirrors. So we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Oh, I got it. Is it a 70s porno? What are you guys thinking over here?
Actually, there's a lot of water beds out there. I don't know why you're worried about if they even make them, because, you know, where the water goes through the deep tunnel into the water beds.
We're talking about the flooding, and Paul was like... you know what? So far, here are the porn names that we've come up with tonight. Buckets of Candy and Deep Tunnel. It is time now.
Wait, was that just turned into a weather joke? Water beds?
It did.
It took me a minute to register.
Paul's like, what did I walk into?
What would Tom Skilling think about all
of this? I think he would laugh at all this as well. I think he would enjoy the hilarity. We're hanging out with our friends from Walter E. Smith. They have redone the Teacher's Lounge at Jenner Ogden Schools, and we appreciate that, and I think it's a wonderful thing that they've done for the teachers. As CPS resumes tomorrow, Griffin, get to bed. You've got a half an hour, because even then, you're only going to get... He's got to get up at 6. Anyway, we'll talk about decorating, and in particular, how to get Paul Farvar's apartment to the point where he can start a relationship and comfortably end it after 3 months. Hey, Paul.
Oh, hey.
We're trying to figure out how to decorate your bachelor pad.
Okay. I mean, I got furniture from Walter E. Smith. I have couches from there. The most complaints I get about my place is not the furniture, because I didn't pick anything.
Well, that's
in
good.
It. Someone who was like well trained did every time.
The decorating is nice. I think that you
the
could...
The wall coloring is what I get a lot of concern about.
I actually kind of like...
Wait, what color is it?
I have a bright yellow orange in my bedroom.
Yeah.
How do you sleep with that?
I like it.
Isn't it bright?
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Is it all the walls too? Or just one
it's
focus?
It's all the walls.
All the walls. Yeah. It's like a mango.
Okay.
It's like a...
It's, I saw it at Bellagio.
I like that color. I just feel like it would be hard to sleep with.
That's what people say. I don't have a problem with it. So, but
I've never been in Paul's bedroom, to be clear.
And I'm like, how do you know?
No, well, the hallway leading to the bedroom is also.
Yes. Know. And you've got like a beige in one of the bathrooms.
Yeah. I think. That was like a, there's a brown, like chocolate brown one, and then the other bathroom's blue. And then the music room where I have all my music supplies and stuff is
like a reddish
dark red, like, yeah, which was popular in like 2003 is which is when I painted
and
it.
That's my sense is that you could probably do with an update, not that I couldn't as well.
Correct.
Our paint is still the same colors. We have like yellows and we have like a we have like a Caribbean lime green in my kitchen, so I'm not one to talk. Yeah. To be fair, I have, you know, a different situation. You use your apartment also for work and as a podcast studio,
right,
as well as being a bachelor. So I think you have a lot going on.
Well, I heard the black leather. I you're not being serious, right? Like, I did have black leather couch, like, for
not
a long
serious.
Period.
Not That's serious. Not serious at all.
Well, no, she said, could we design it so that you would stay a bachelor forever?
Yes.
And that's where the black leather,
so we're saying like black leather and cheetah prints.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, I got it. I don't think I need furniture to ensure that I stay a bachelor.
Oh. Well, and here's the thing. I mean, like, your apartment does not scream, let's make a family together. I think that's basically what I think a bachelor is probably, if they want to stay a bachelor forever.
I have to childproof it when my nieces and nephew come in, because I have to like move everything around because it's very fragile to children or drunk people, as I've noticed.
What about drunk children?
Drunk children. It's a whole nother. I haven't gone there yet.
Yeah.
Now I know where the wine spills are coming from in this household.
It all comes
the drunken
circle.
Children.
Look out. Yeah. Well, when you sit down for a consultation with somebody who's trying to redecorate, what kind of questions do you ask them? I mean, obviously budget is one of them, but what else do you try to find out about them?
You know, I think everybody has their own personal style, and there are many clients of ours that are like, oh, I don't have a style. I don't know what it is. But you really have to like tap into it. And sometimes you have to start with the question, if they are somebody that says that they don't know what their style is or they don't have a style, like, what don't you like? Because that kind of narrows it down quickly, too. And usually people have strong opinions about what they don't like. But
too much white modern, like sharp edges and metallic. Those kinds of things always make...
That would be your, what do you not like?
You know why? And Steve, my husband's going to hate me for saying this. He has a friend, let's call him John, because that's his name. So we were visiting his parents' house, and they had this little entrance, and we were coming, it was wintertime, we were coming over to watch the Rose Bowl, and they had this entrance, it was like Spanish tile in the entrance, and we walked in, and his mom like stopped us right away, started yelling at us to take off our shoes, which we would have done anyway, but we were given like, there were six of us given like a band of like 3 feet to all sort of like topple on top of each other, because she wanted to make sure we didn't get our shoes or boots on her white carpeting. Well, then don't put the white carpeting so close to the front door.
Exactly.
Or just don't get white carpeting.
You want to be able to live in your house.
Yeah.
You want to be comfortable, and you don't want to make your guests feel uncomfortable.
Right. And I'm sure that they were perfectly happy living in their home. Then don't invite people over in a social.
Right.
Like right
well,
away.
Your home's got to be functional. It kind of goes back to that.
Right.
White carpeting just isn't functional, at least entertaining, you know?
Everything was white. White, like shaggy carpeting, like fur kind of stuff. Yeah. Look at me. Yeah. I'm like, it was
you're like,
deep.
You're doing
plush.
The texture. You're like imagining the texture.
Like, and everything was just sharp and harsh and white and metal. And
Were the sofas covered in like that custom made plastic wrap?
No, that was why you weren't allowed to sit on them.
Yeah.
If they were covered, we were, you know where we were sent? To the basement.
Banished to the basement.
That probably means she thinks you're young, though. Like, that you could take that ordering around.
We were, like, in our late 20s. We were like, all right, we'll just go, Mrs. K, we'll just go downstairs. See how I edited? Steve will be very happy that I edited.
It sounds like the house in Big Lebowski when he goes in.
Yes.
And she's, like, trying to, well, I don't know what I can say on the air. But
yeah, no.
Where she's trying to take advantage of the Big Lebowski. I said it right.
But I think that for me, I conjure up memories of things I don't want. I like things that are comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know what? Is it still popular to have like prairie styles, or is that something that kind of, that seemed like more of a 2000s?
I think that's kind of classic. It did kind of get a little bit more popular in the 2000s, but there's, especially in the Chicagoland area, there's like definitely a classic element to prairie style.
What's prairie style?
The architecture.
Um,
kind of like Frank Lloyd Wright,
mm-hmm.
like arts and craft.
in yellow and muted greens and some maybe some oranges and, mm. and muted reds and things
fall
like that
colors. Colors.
Like, yes, yeah. I would say fall colors. And just
brown leathers.
And the woods are kind of a dark wood with black, you know, hardware mm. on them. It was typically what we did. And to that, so when people are picking out furniture, I think that they'll go someplace and not realize that there are things that you should really pay attention to. And I'm saying this also from experience. The glides on a drawer. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to be doing that every day.
You want, right.
Yeah. Yeah. You want it to work well and you want it to, you want to be comfortable with that.
Yeah. Because you don't want, you know, especially if you're going to have a kid, let's say you have a child who likes to yank the drawers off right. and then it's just that middle strip and not the side glides. You want the mechanics of what you're going to use functionally every single day are important, but we don't necessarily pay attention to that, do we?
Well, I think the issue is that most people do a big shop for furniture like once a decade.
Right.
So people just really aren't very educated on what to look for when they're shopping. And it's a scary purchase because it's
yes.
a big purchase. And it's something that you're going to have to look at for a long time. And I just wish that people would take a few minutes to educate themselves on what to look for in quality and what to look for in comfort and what makes them really happy. You know, those I couldn't be more sincere when I say that all of us in our family and in our company really just want people to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So if black leather and a spinning round bed make you happy, then
mirrors.
I want you to have it and be happy every day looking at
and
it.
And Paul, you know? Get your spinning round bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
My
that.
My parents had a round bed in the 80s.
How
it
did,
was popular.
Well, our question, I think, earlier was...
The sheets. Yeah, the bedding. Where did they get their bedding?
It was, they had customized bedding with the sheets. It was satin bedding. And they had a thing where you turned the stand and the TV would pop up like
Ooh.
Very slowly. Cause
what?
Sounds very
God forbid someone sees you have a TV in a room.
Yeah.
Like, why do you need to hide that?
So. Can you imagine folding that fitted sheet, though? What a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Did the bed spin?
I never had to do it. No, it didn't spin, as far as I know, but...
You know how I would fold that fitted sheet like this.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's exactly.
Now you're doing
how I fold
folding
move.
Yeah,
just ball it up, just sort of fold it on top of itself.
Yeah.
Well, since you're downtown, I'm going to keep you for one more segment, and then I know that you've got family and kids to get back to. But thank you so much. We are hanging out with Maureen, Colleen, and Katie from Walter E. Smith. We're going to talk more about decorating your home. I think we've got some plans for Paul Farvar's bachelor pad.
I had some comments recently. This weekend about some stuff in my place.
Oh, well, let's talk a little bit more about that and how we can help you out. Elliot Serrano joins us as well, and we won't call you a bachelor because you are in a wonderful relationship.
Yeah, but she doesn't like my idea for having a bed that looks like a pirate ship.
Oh, man.
So
all right,
weird.
Let's talk about
deal breaker.
Let's talk about bold choices when we come back on 7 to making a commitment to a bold choice. And by the way, from the 312, someone says, my late aunt in Ohio always made us go to the basement when we visited.
Oh.
As kids. We weren't
You're not
kids.
Alone.
We were in our 20s. Some of us were married, for crying out loud. You know their jingle. You dream it. We build it. Walter E. Smith. The ladies of Walter E. Smith, the women of Walter E. Smith joined us in the studio, and I was just telling them, I was like, so are the brothers still doing the commercials? It's you guys now. You're the next generation. You're the fourth generation. You're bringing in this new vibe. It's exciting and it's fun, and we're going to teach Paul how to stay a bachelor forever. Is that actually ever a request?
Me.
Teach you? Well, yeah, right. Paul's like, I'm handling it pretty well on my own. Paul has a 3-month cutoff. Not on purpose.
I don't.
It happens organically.
Give or take 3 months. Yeah. Sometimes it's like a week.
Well, do you want to settle down?
Not right now.
No. Okay.
I'm pretty happy.
Paul hosts the podcast Singles Only.
Yeah.
On iTunes.
We celebrate being single. So,
okay, so
I kind of have to.
Okay.
Otherwise, I lose the license for my trademark.
How do you get girls to go out with you if they know that you have a podcast called Singles Only?
It's been an issue lately. No, I don't know. I think a lot of there's certain people that are like that don't want to settle down. I think we're finding more and more people based on the podcast where people are like, okay, well, see where it goes. It's not like I'm ruling out situations like that. I've been in relationships, committed relationships, and not like I'm going out like with 50 people. I just have no time to commit to a relationship, which is what you need to do when you're in a relationship.
And Elliot was
he was on the show.
Yes, was on the podcast, but is no longer
kicked off.
Yeah, he's been kicked off the.
No, what happens is when people do the podcast, people listen to their their guts out, and then they get into a relationship. Elliot told me specifically the next day that's why he got on a relationship.
Yes, but thank God she hasn't listened to that.
Oh, I was going
to
say.
I said some stuff on that podcast you did. That I don't think anyone I'm involved
A lot of people have asked to take down the podcast when they're in a committed relationship. And it's kind of crazy. I'm like, no, that's not how it works.
You get us to go on there.
People get upset.
Yeah, you get us to go on there and say stuff that we're like, we normally wouldn't admit. And then it's like, ha ha ha. And I'm like,
right. It's not just me. Patty does it. Patty got some good information from some of our guests in the past. Mm-hmm. It's a calming psychiatrist in her.
I see an opening, and I just walk right through it. That's all. But I try not to do it in a way that makes them feel as though they've been taken advantage of.
No.
I'm very gentle about it.
That's the thing. Like people that ask me to take it down, I'm like, look, if people are going to judge you for what you say on a podcast, then maybe. Then you shouldn't be hiding your true self. Like those are things you said at that period of time in your
life. It's a heightened state of reality when someone's on a podcast talking about being single, though, don't you think?
I don't think so. I think it's a fair representation of who you are.
Fair. That's fair. So with that, though, I want to talk about, you know, Paul's, Paul's not alone. No, Paul's not alone when it comes to this sort of trend of not settling down. Mm-hmm. And so you probably work with a lot of clients who are single. They don't know if they want to get married. So what kind of advice do you give them when they're decorating to sort of plan for what, you know, to be who they are now, but also plan for the future?
I would just say
be you.
Yeah.
Make it personal. Be happy. You know, I mean, there's no shame in whatever stage of life that you're in.
And no, not at all.
At the very least, you deserve something nice to come home to at the end of every day where you can sit down and spill wine all over it if it happens and clean it right up and move on with your night. I don't think there's no one right or wrong way to decorate a space. Just be happy.
I think if you're single, too, and you're already planning for kids, like, you're probably going to be scaring off people anyway. So.
But Paul and I have talked to many women, and not too many men, though, but many more women, obviously, who know they want to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
They've given themselves sort of a deadline, and come or hell or high water, they're going to make that happen. Then, so that's fine. Be who you are.
I know, but I feel like if you have your
live
own
in the now.
Place, if you live alone, if and when you do settle down someday, there will be somebody else who will be butting in with an opinion on your decorating.
To fix
so
it.
Enjoy making that choice on your own right
you
now.
You have to merge your two you styles.
Yeah. Do whatever you want. Furniture's not forever. It doesn't need to be. You can upgrade or you can change things over once somebody else is in the mix.
That's true.
But if you tell people to be themselves who probably shouldn't be, like myself, things are going to be really weird.
Wait, what are you going to pick? If you were coming in right now, what do you want?
I like,
what is Paul?
Yellow is my favorite color. So like when I was going with my friend who was a real estate agent and had a designer background to your store, I was like, what about this? And I mean, it was just like, Paul, you're an idiot.
But it's only yours. He's not living with it.
That's right.
Well,
She's not living.
Yeah, but I also have no taste when it comes to furniture.
Well, that's why you come to Walter E. Smith, where our design professionals guide you through the whole process, and they will not let you make a bad choice.
That's good.
But actually, Paul, yellow is in style now.
Mm-hmm. See, yeah, I should have just stuck
with
yellow.
We were just at the spring, well, not just, but at the spring furniture market, we saw so much yellow, like every different shade of it, too.
I already have a lot of yellow now, but...
Well, then you're right
walls,
on trend.
Right.
Yeah, you're the trendsetter.
I was ordered to pick things that are like basic colors, like gray and things that match my house. Because my family's Persian, so we have a ton of rugs, mm-hmm. Persian rugs.
Oh, that's cool.
So finding furniture that matches one of the rugs that I had to keep in my house.
That can be limiting.
Yeah. So like there was
colors. Rugs are really in style right now, too. You know, kind of the statement rugs.
Do you guys
buy
them? Because I've got a ton to get rid of.
Hey, do you really?
Well, my parents are hopefully moving soon, so we want to like...
I'll buy one.
Okay.
All right.
We'll talk.
All right.
Well, they don't know I'm selling them yet, but we'll talk.
Is there space in your office,
with those rugs, like a cool, like kind of boho look?
Yeah. I mean, they have like authentic ones, and they have this house that we grew up with, but my parents are older now. It's just them two. And my brother and I are like, what are we going to do with all these rugs, like if they move, which is we're trying to get them to move. And... And it's like, there's only so many you can have. I have a condo in Lincoln Park. My brother lives in Florida. But there's only so much Persian rug you can have in
I'm sure this would be sacrilege, but sometimes people use them to upholster like a big ottoman or something like that.
Oh, I didn't know
it's
about
actually,
that.
They're really cool.
They're absolutely beautiful, like pieces of art. And I don't know if that'd go against everything that you believe in.
I would like to see that.
Rug,
that's a good argument.
They're beautiful. And they're all one of a kind, just like the rugs.
Huh.
So something that, well,
there you go.
You
know,
there's one rug down.
To think about, yeah. How many upholstered ottomans do you need, though, in the house? But
I only have one room from one ottoman in my place, so.
There you go. And the thing is that, like, when you do make a choice decorating-wise, or in you're talking about your parents, you know, trying to pare down, I'm guessing there are a lot of people who work with their parents, too, trying to figure out what that sort of, you know, new life is like as well when they move to a smaller place, or they don't have to worry about, you know, keeping up a guest room for their kids to come visit and things like that.
See, my parents, they would, when they were when we were growing up, they would buy things just that they liked because they liked them, but they had no idea of how to like match things, like myself. So like we had like this modern marble floors, but then they'd have like traditional furniture, and you're like, this doesn't look right. Even I knew it, and I know nothing. So that's why I'm like, maybe you shouldn't tell people to be you, and you guys should have your specialist be more aggressive.
Well, no, that's kind of what reason. That's okay. Part of the like process, I think, was working with a designer.
I
kind of figuring
it,
out what your style is, and then like working at in, you know, and making it look beautiful. Then
it should be it should be a hyphen after that says be you, unless you don't know what you're talking about.
Or unless your favorite color is yellow. Yeah,
yeah. Or unless this from the 630 I worked years ago with a free spirit who left with two men in a bar, and she knew she was in trouble when she first spotted a bed hanging from heavy chains.
Oh, my gosh.
And like the stuff of nightmares.
And hog choppers were in the kitchen. What?
What's a hog chopper?
I don't know.
You have to ask that question, too. I genuinely don't know.
I don't want to know. I don't think I want to know.
I don't know what a hog chopper is.
Sounds like something from a bad movie.
I think it's all in the name, folks.
Hog chopper?
You're taking it literally. I have a question.
I'm going medieval times with that.
Yeah, no kidding. I agree. You're going to be that drumstick. Go ahead.
I had an argument with someone this week, and they said canned lighting is out. Is that true?
What?
Canned lighting? Like the canned
light? Yes, because light fixtures are in big time. Chandeliers,
yes.
Statement things. Those are, you can't go wrong with those.
There's so many cool of chandeliers.
There are so many options. Yeah.
From rustic
what if you have low
to
ceilings?
Elegant. Well, I mean,
you
like
get like a pendant or like a, flush mount, something. Oh, not a pendant, but you know.
Mm. Well, something that also like kind of hugs the ceiling too in a long way. And says, I want to come work with you guys.
Come on,
I'm thinking about Paul's twig apartment. One.
The twig flush mount, it does. It
sort of weaves.
Almost weaves its way out from the center where the power comes in, and it's stunning. It's gorgeous.
I don't know if nature elements fit in your apartment, Paul. No.
I mean, I'm never home, so it doesn't really matter at this point. And I might be moving, so it doesn't matter.
Really?
Well, I mean, maybe at some point.
You need somewhere for all those rugs.
That's right.
Yes.
One of my favorite things when I first walked into Paul's apartment was I realized he lives like I do, but he lives alone, so it's not okay that I do it. When he opens a cupboard, he doesn't necessarily close it. Yeah, so I came in and his kitchen had like all these open cupboards. But I do the same thing, and my husband like walks right, like he'll like, come in, like he'll forget that one's open above him, reach for something below, and then hit his head on the one that's open, so I have to stop.
I always leave them open. It drives my husband crazy.
Yeah, what is
he'll,
like,
what's the obnoxiously reason to keep it close open? Them in front of me
what's
really loud.
With
to be
you.
Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah. The noise when it closes.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going through my head. There's no thought process.
Right. We open it, and for whatever reason, like that, we don't finish the process. We just kind of like get
You're
what
gonna,
we
like,
need.
Go back for another snack.
It's loud.
Or maybe
too.
I'm planning to go back or something. I don't know.
I don't
have an answer for you.
You guys
but
are nuts.
Yeah. I'm with you, Maureen.
Okay.
It's
so
like such
three.
An easy way to make it look.
I thought my sisters might back me up on this.
No, you're alone. You and
all right. I do it all the time.
Me too. This is great.
Empty cupboards.
Who's
that?
Elliot, what do you do?
Cupboards.
Elliot,
you're the tiebreaker.
You're the tiebreaker.
No, this all sounds like a subconscious revenge against not lowering the toilet seat. Or like,
wait, you don't lower it?
Or lifting it or whatever, you know?
Reclose.
So what is it, Elliot? Do you leave them open or do you close them?
Yeah.
Well, I have spiders in my cupboards and they always say, like, close it. I'm sorry.
Oh, scary. Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Then don't open
that's
it.
Sweet. Yeah, he wants them to be comfortable.
Yeah.
I want them to be comfortable.
See, bright.
He broke the tie. He's on.
He kind of broke the tie.
We're even now.
I want to thank Maureen, Colleen, and Katie from Walter E. Smith. You can go to smith.com for all the great decorating ideas. You can find out about getting a consultant, what the process is like, and that's Smith with an E.com. That's smith.com. It's not smith with an E.com, although it's not a bad idea to buy
not
it.
Not a bad idea, yeah.
smithe.com.
Well, is that the phone number, too?
1-800-WITH-AN-E.
1-800-WITH-AN-E. We'd love to have you come back sometime again.
We'd love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
We'd love that.
And thank you again, you guys, for outfitting the Teacher's Lounge at Jenner Ogden Schools. It's really, really generous and kind of you guys. And for what you were doing for Folds of the Flag?
Folds of Honor.
Folds of Honor. Folds of Honor. I was thinking of the flag, and I was putting that all together. I know we have, like, Rags of Honor. And so
Folds of Honor. Yep. Chicago.foldsofhonor.org is their website if you want to check it out.
Excellent. And please, whenever you can come back again, and I know, and you know, we can hang out before or after. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yes.
Be well, and we'll see you again very soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, no, it's absolutely my pleasure. It is time now for our news. Paul, did you bring a Is It Legal for after the news?
I did not.
Okay. Well, what do you want? Well, we'll figure it out. I think we need to do a Deadpool from the Trump administration because we didn't even see McGahn coming. So we didn't even have him on our radar. So maybe there's
neither did the president.
No, neither did McGahn. He found out in a tweet, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now we're starting to get some texts asking for advice from our from the incredible women of Walter E. Smith. We will have them back again soon. One woman from the 815 says that her home is her husband is an avid fisherman. Unfortunately, we have many of his stuffed trophy fish on one wall. You can't see them entering the home. The rest of the home is very horsey. Garnet, greens, beiges. Yeah, no, horsey is one way to put it. We have they want to know if they travel to the 815. I'm sure you can go to their website. Go to smith.com at Smith with an E. And it was great to have the ladies of Walter E. Smith in studio.
I told them before they left, I got to be honest, I was totally fanboying out about them because, one, as someone who grew up in Chicago, and I've known Walter E. Smith since I was a kid, you know, to see the members of the fourth generation of the family, seeing those commercials for years and years and years, and seeing, and then they're like, you know, and just talking about it, I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I said, they're like the Hiltons of furniture.
They are. I got to see the commercial where they spill red wine and Chicago pizza on it and everything. It's a white couch and it still comes out clean.
But they should do a reality show. That would be so cool.
Ooh, interesting.
Like, you know, about the family and all the stuff and then their children, their young, you know, preschool children getting drunk on wine. Because apparently that's what happens, you know.
Well, people do the reality show to gain publicity, but they're doing so well, I think. They do a great job. I bought all my stuff there, so.
Plus, the reality shows, producers are often trying to egg people on to be
fights.
But they seem they're so natural and funny and
that's
very
true.
Very very easygoing. I mean, a part of me is just fanboying out, and then I'm like, they're just talking and being really, you know, genuine and all that. So I'm like, wow. I mean, I want to like buy a lot of furniture from them.
I know. Well, and I was just thinking that's probably going to be the next move I make because we've traveled a few times in the last few years, and I've saved my money for that. But I think now my next big purchase has to be some furniture.
In
my house.
I need a bed.
But my house is so small. I need a new bed, too.
I need to update my bedroom, I think. That's about it. But everything else I've done in the last, like, 7 years.
Your place is very nice. I was teasing you. I love the dark wood flooring you have.
I did that recently.
That's gorgeous.
It was blonde when I moved in, and then, like, 5 years ago, redid it. Yeah.
And the gray-blue colors that you have in your home are also very nice.
I did not pick any of that. Okay, I had someone stylish do that for me.
Well, what do you tell somebody whose husband is, you know, has a certain style? And I just paint. I just hire somebody, come in, and you don't want to be confrontational. You got to make a change.
Well, if you get married to when my cousin is a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, and he wanted to have football all over, so his wife had him have a Dallas Cowboys room.
Yes, you can have
and
a so cave.
Everything. He picked everything in one place, and then she did the whole house. So that's how you just compartmentalize.
Yeah. And so Elliot, your pirate bed probably has to go. Yeah. Maybe it's a pirate couch.
No, it's like for me, what I've wanted, I mean,
bathtub.
What you describe has always been the thing that I would expect, that if I'm living with someone, they're going to have pretty much say so over the entire house, but I'm going to get one room to myself. Mm-hmm. And I already know the theme for my one room.
Yes.
It would be okay, remember in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade when Indy went into his office and he had all these shelves and everything was just all crammed in there and he had one little desk in the middle of all that. That would be my room.
That would be your room. I think that's easily accomplished, my friend. Yeah.
That would be it. But nice, you know, that classic kind of like explorer type look. Like I've traveled the world.
It's kind of a hoarder though. Isn't it kind of like hoarderish?
Yeah, but it was like artifacts and stuff. Except in my case, those artifacts would be action figures.
Esmeralda is in traffic right now. Also not taking the night off. You, me, we're doing the regular shift. We've got Roger filling in for Andrea. Would you, if money were not an issue, would you have like a themed room in your home or a themed house?
No.
No.
Oh, gosh, no. I actually enjoy when I'm really bad about my own home, but like looking at stuff online of other people's houses, I'm so jealous.
Right.
When people have that whole messy but not messy.
Okay.
And they're able to almost curate the little knickknacks they have and
I agree.
All this stuff like that. And it somehow is all cohesive.
Right.
But it looks so cozy and comfortable and like it looks lived in. I have no idea how people do that.
I agree. I go into people's homes all the time. And I mentioned earlier that I like walking in my neighborhood to see how my neighbors decorate. I do.
To get ideas.
Yeah, to get ideas.
I've done that.
To see what's possible, especially because all the houses in my neighborhood have the same layout. They're all this certain type of house, structurally and interior wise. So I try to get ideas that way. I used to have, when I lived alone, I had a studio apartment. When Steve and I started dating, I used to collect hats and gloves and accessories for women from the 1940s. I had this idea of sort of doing this sort of classic movie themed stuff. So I used to decorate with those elements on my wall with movie posters and stuff. And Steve said when we were dating, this is a good idea for like if you have a home theater.
Do you have costume parties?
Yeah, well, I used to wear them with like costumes and stuff like that. Yeah.
Or maybe a wall where you have a makeup desk.
Right.
What are those called?
I ended up selling them all to like a secondhand store.
Oh, wow. Really? All right.
Yeah. I know. I got rid of all of it because, well, I just never, it had been, that was like in the, you know, early 2000s. It's 18 years later. I'm glad I still wouldn't have done anything with them yet.
Yeah, so, I have a whole Tupperware container of things that are supposed to go up at some point. Knickknacks and just memories.
Right. Exactly.
I have nowhere to put them.
Mm-hmm.
I always do like a purge every 5 years of stuff. Like, what am I going to keep?
I got to purge. I got to start purging every year.
Yeah, but I want to keep everything.
Yeah, I do too.
No, I try to, I always like to say, you have to fill two garbage bags of stuff you're going to throw away or give away.
Oh my gosh, no.
That's what you meant by purge.
Yeah. I thought
you were going to want to kill anybody.
Murdering.
Because you're like a lawyer and you know how to make it legal.
So I wish I did. Or give away people.
Yeah, those are the two options.
There's a friend of the show, Ellen Miller. She's a musician who has been posting pictures of her purge. She's taking pictures of all like the T-shirts and clothes throughout that are in her wardrobe that she's getting rid of. It's been fun to follow. Yeah,
I keep like I did a recent one, but I have so many concert shirts.
That's what she's been going through.
That I can't throw away because those are like so cool. And like I have a Who tie dye shirt from like 1989.
But do you wear it?
No, but I keep them in a bag. And then maybe I'll like.
So,
just
what if you did something with them art wise?
There you go.
Make a quilt with them.
There's a company.
Oh, there you go.
They make quilts with like old t-shirts and
stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe. But then what am I going to do with a quilt?
Put it on the wall?
Wear it. No, like, you know.
Put it on my car seats. Be like, hey. I don't want this leather to get dirty.
No, put it on your couch.
Have it custom made to fit your round bed. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, when I get my round bed, my round water bed,
ooh,
I can put it on there.
Make it a round quilt of all your concert T-shirts. I like the way we're going with this. We are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's a Labor Day. I'm so glad that you're hanging out with us. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are. Ben Anderson is our producer tonight. Michael has a night off, as does Andrea Darlis. They'll both be back tomorrow, but Ben, it's been fun hanging out with you as well tonight. I know I keep you on your toes. You're like, could you please go to break? Please go to break. Please go to break. Okay, I'm going to the break right now. More
I like
in a
his
moment.
Music cues.
That's good. They've been very good. Hey, listener from the 630, Roger. Is Roger, there's something really weird going in the top corner there. Why does it look like
I'm here?
A listener from the 630 texts us there are more than 30 Southwest planes sitting on the flight line waiting for a gate at Midway.
Yeah.
All we smell is jet exhaust, and there is no relief in sight.
Well, I don't have a big fan to send to them right now. I used to. When I grew up, we had one of those huge fans in the back of the house to kind of suck the air through the house
what
because
you're
we
saying
didn't have air conditioning.
To the 630 is
well,
can't,
I
can't help
know.
You.
No,
can't
I mean, you. I feel for them.
Yeah. Are they on a plane?
No, yeah, no, they're no, in the neighborhood.
No, no, no. They're texting from the plane.
Oh, from the plane.
We've been on deck for quite a while already.
Yeah. Well, there's a 30-minute. There's an average of 30-minute delays. They said Midway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 30-minute delays at Midway.
That's 30 minutes is not that bad, my friend, from the 630.
Well, I'm going to Midway.
O'Hare had delays over an hour just a couple of hours ago. They're still at 50 minutes over there, and they had. You're lucky you've got a flight at Midway.
What is the longest you've ever been on a tarmac, you guys? Waiting for a plane to take off.
Take off or
take
land?
Take off or land, I guess. Or
hour,
you know,
and a half was for me.
How long, Elliot, if you had any?
Oh, geez. I've been fortunate that I've never been stuck on a tarmac that long. Oh. It was probably maybe half an hour. But I'll tell you right now, it was the longest half hour ever.
Yeah.
And I would probably lose it if it was longer than that because
really?
They don't let you go to the bathroom.
No, they don't. Once the plane starts rolling. Ben, you been stuck on a tarmac? Ever? Eddie Jura.
Oh, let's try that.
Yeah, there you go.
So, no, I have.
What's your longest?
It was about 2 hours.
Okay, that's a long. That's a long one.
But this was no air conditioning.
Oh,
in Florida.
No! Oh, that's brutal.
This is when I was still flying down there.
Yeah. Oh, that's. Yeah.
It was only a 30-minute flight. Otherwise, so you're on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's the worst. You've been trapped on tarmac
probably an hour or so, but then they took us off the flight and canceled it.
Oh, really? Oh, that's not good. That's a bad feeling too.
Yeah.
Ugh. I was at O'Hare Airport. Flying to Grand Rapids, which if you just drove it, would be about a 3.5 hour drive.
I did just drive it.
It's about a half an hour flight. The first delay, we were rolling out on the jet. We were out on the tarmac. We were about to get in line to take off. And the rudder, you could hear it going. And we were on that flight for about 3 hours. We were just on the tarmac. And it was funny because I was trying to find, it was my first time touring with the Bob and Tom Comedy Tour, the radio team out of Indianapolis. And I was sitting next to a guy who was a fan of the show. And I think he stopped being a fan while we were in the middle of a conversation. That's how long we were trapped together. Although he did help me pick my intro music that I still use, which is the Blues Brothers, Give Me Some Lovin'. And then we went back to the jetway. We deplaned, and they gave us another plane, and there was a leak in the cockpit. Altogether, our delays were 6.5 hours, and I just barely made it to. I could have driven.
My brother made a point a long time ago. We were both randomly going to be in Minneapolis at the same time, and he drove. And I flew. I was like, why aren't you flying? It's only $89. Like, you should just fly. He goes, no, by the time you go to the airport and all that stuff with delays, it's just easier to drive. And I was like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And he beat me there.
Yeah.
And then he had his car too. So like, it was like a best of both worlds. So now I always, if I'm traveling within 5 hours, when I went to Minneapolis last time, I drove it.
Well, my rule now is to always make sure I take a first flight out. So if there is a cancellation or if I have to rebook a flight, I don't think I've missed. There's only been one flight, but I was traveling with the entire family, with both my boys and my husband. We were delayed for almost 8 hours, but we were inside the airport. They kept, pushing back the estimated time of boarding, and then finally they canceled the flight. That was brutal. Then we had to fly the next day. They gave us vouchers for a hotel, but still, that was rough. Still, I mean, you know what? It's traveling. You're flying. You're in the air in a metal tube. It's wild. Yeah. If you're not pressed for time traveling, you can, as long as you're flexible and can roll with it. That's the hardest part about traveling, is sort of being able to adjust to weather and mechanical difficulties. We had a flight one time where there was a seat in first class. It was loose, and they canceled the entire flight. Everyone was dispersed because one of the fancy seats was loose. Well,
what does that even mean?
Well, because if you're flying and there's any turbulence, you don't want people to be injured also by the one seat that's loose.
You don't got any tools on that flight?
I know. Oh, please. I was on a puddle jumper from Denver to Kearney, Nebraska, and there was an electronic panel like dangling over my seat, and the guy came out with like a tool belt and just bolted it back up. We were fine. Yeah, he had his tool belt. They do well in Denver.
I think, too, what depends is a good airport.
Yes.
If you get stuck.
Well, I'm guessing.
What constitutes a good airport?
With stuff in it.
Oh.
Because I've been to some airports where there's just like nothing.
Cinnabon.
Well, that is the thing about United having its hub at O'Hare Airport. If they have a problem with one flight, they have a fleet of planes they can use. So that worked out well because we were on our third plane when we finally flew out to Grand Rapids. But if you're in an airport that doesn't have backup planes, that's much harder. Yeah.
Yeah.
But weather is something you can't account for, right? If it's terrible weather out, if there's ice on your plane, that's the way it goes. What?
I feel like they make up that excuse about weather a lot.
I don't know.
Certain airlines do, because I'm like, what's the weather like?
Don't you want them to be picky about that, though?
Yeah, I do.
You're flying in the sky.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's where the weather is, Paul.
You have to, in the sky.
Yeah. No, it's not. So I don't need clouds. When
the weather's nice where you are, and the weather's nice where you're landing, and they're like, "Oh, we had weather problems." Like when?
It's in the middle. It's where the plane's coming from. That's what a lot of the problems is because they turn those planes around so quickly that if there's issues with the weather in say point A, and that's where your plane is coming from, now you're delayed, and then the airport you're going to is doubly delayed because it's not like you can speed up the plane to make up time. Unless you have a time machine.
All I know is when I learned about wind shears, which happen like in perfectly clear weather, I certainly don't want the pilot flying through
wind shears.
Clouds and stuff.
It's like a wind shear.
Sounds like sharp objects coming at your flight.
Sounds like a band they played at Lollapalooza.
Maybe.
Look it up. Wind shears. No, you'll never want to fly again if you read about these
things. I already don't want to fly again.
Yeah, I once, you remember that polar vortex, like the first really big blast of that cold, and the temperatures were at some ridiculously god-awful low. I got the last flight out of O'Hare to fly to Philadelphia, and I heard one of the, I don't know if it was a crew or if it was one of the, you know, somebody on the ground saying, I don't know, we've never flown in weather this cold. I hope it's okay. And I remember thinking I was like, is this how Buddy Holly and Richie Valens and the Big Bopper felt? Ah, we got on the plane, everybody. How exciting.
Just don't flip a coin before you get on there. You know.
Did I ever tell you the meanest thing I ever did? on a plane to a kid. Okay, this is terrible. To a kid on a plane. I was younger. Can I preface it to saying I was 18 or 19 years old? And you know how like kids like play peekaboo, and I was done playing peekaboo with this kid, and they popped their head up and they stuck my tongue out at me, and I go, oh, you know, it's bad luck. Now we're going to crash. It's terrible. It's the worst.
How old was the kid?
The kid was like 4 or 5 years old.
Oh, boy.
Did the parent turn around and glare at you?
No, I don't know if they heard me. I needed to make it stop. I was an older teen, and I was just annoyed with this kid, and they just wouldn't leave me alone. I was like, it was cute for the first 4 minutes. After an hour, you're like, I can't play peekaboo with you anymore, kid. And then the kid stuck his tongue out at me, and I was like, no, that's it.
Somewhere there's a therapist thanking you for the business that you've kind of sent their way, you know.
But is it terrible? Is it the worst thing you've ever heard me do?
No,
can you look at me differently?
No.
Can you forgive me?
No. When it comes to doing mean things to kids.
Handing him a parachute might be meaner, but.
Yeah. Good luck.
Patty, you just became my hero.
I'm sorry. I don't remember ever sticking my tongue out at an adult. Like, as a comeback. Okay, one time. When I was in preschool, I was, believe it or not, very chatty as a child. And the preschool teacher, I know, we were having nap time, and we had these cots. And I was talking to the girl next to me. She separated me. She dragged my cot away from all the other kids in between two tables. And I was underneath the light now. Apparently, I was supposed to nap. And she was yelling at me and pointing her finger at me, which I had learned was rude to do. So in response, I stuck my tongue out at her. And she slapped me. So I wet my pants. And that's how you respond to all of them. Yeah, that was
there's just a whole bunch of mess in that.
Literally, yeah.
So I, perhaps.
I miss those preschool cots, other than the wet part.
You know, I still remember the bag that she sent me. She sent me home with my clothes in a wholesome, the bread bag. That's what she put my clothes in.
With your a little clothes, flap on the bag?
Well, the I wet bag? My, I, they gave me like back, I'm sure they had like extra clothes. What was that? Roger?
Oh, it was like the sandwich bag that doesn't zip. It's
no,
a flap on it.
It was for the whole bread. Loaf of wholesome bread. You know, the wholesome, the brand.
Oh,
it's like
the
orange.
Whole bread bag. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The whole bread right. bag was right. how they.
Those right. were, no. those were mm-hmm. for me, that was winter wear. You put the wholesome bags on your over your shoes
yes.
in winter.
And under your inside your boots.
Yeah.
That's how you waterproofed your boots in the wintertime.
Yeah. Yeah. So that way your feet didn't
well,
get
we,
wet.
We use the wholesome bread.
Awesome.
Wonder,
wow, that was
Wonder.
Fancy.
No, Wonder Bread. Remember the Wonder
fancy
with
fancy schmancy.
We I loved have, Wonder Bread.
I couldn't afford We couldn't afford that when I was
well,
a kid.
Was that before they started putting those little holes in it to let it breathe?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that, was a
that ruined it for yeah. everybody. Should we play Deadpool? Do you even want to talk about I think it's a Labor Day. We can do other stuff. It's been quiet on the...
I haven't really been paying attention to the news, so I don't know what's
yeah,
going on.
No, I haven't.
I mean... the news with Roger I am paying attention to, but not
bless you.
National news.
Bless you.
There's a listener who has been texting us every day since Andrea's been off, saying Andrea is not on vacation and not as capitalized. She is on TV each day. I have not seen her on my TV, but if that is the case, can we say then that she's on vacation from evening? So if she's doing television, I mean, she's often spreading out her schedule and having to work these crazy hours. So I think that she can take a vacation from having to work very late.
She's going to have to answer to some people.
Apparently, she's going to have to answer to the 847.
Yeah, that makes it sound like she's like there's a conspiracy.
Like, she's not on vacation.
Stalker.
Liars.
She's like, I'm on her Facebook page right now, and she's 5 miles away from me.
But this is, I believe, the second or third time. So 847, perhaps you are correct. I have not been able to watch TV because, as a 773 asks, how is your son doing? I mentioned earlier that Declan is still in recovery. He is still in the hospital, and I've been sleeping by his bedside every night. I come and do the show because it gives me a few hours to sort of have conversation with people. But he is doing better. He is, starting to make progress towards walking, and hopefully we will have him home with us soon following his extensive surgery. He had a spinal fusion done a little less than, actually, it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow. Wow. Let's go to the news now. More conversation when we return. 312-981-7200. You can always join our conversation at any time by calling or texting us. Hopefully, my son Griffin has drifted off to sleep with the images of being a freshman in high school, just sort of not causing stress, just the, you know, just preparing himself. I don't know. I can't remember what the night before I went off to high school was like. I went to Lane Tech. I remember being there. I remember taking I had to take the 68 Northwest Highway bus to the Jefferson Park Hub, to then to the Blue Line, to Addison bus, where I had to ride with a bunch of the boys from Gordon Tech, and I would, years later, when I was a sophomore, it was so crowded, I would make goat noises because they were the Gordon Tech Rams, and I'd be like, this bus is filled with. So that was, but I remember how beautifully sunny it was the day I was outside of Lane Tech. I remember what I was wearing. Do you remember what you were wearing your freshman, very first day of freshman?
Yeah, I remember it.
Oh.
I was dressed like a dork. I remember exactly how I was dressed.
Really?
I was pretty dorky that day.
I was wearing those high top Reeboks, you know, with the Velcro ankles.
Mm-hmm.
I was wearing probably, I'm guessing, acid wash blue jeans, but I was wearing a pink and white striped button-up Oxford shirt, like a men's shirt. Mm. I was a total tomboy. And my hair was permed like Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing.
I don't know what the first day of school was, but I know I used to wear those short shorts. But then I'd wear so the boxers would stick out from the bottom.
Oh, God.
Remember those? Like
no.
The Umbros?
What?
Well, that was the style.
The Umbros!
Umbros shorts with the boxer sticking out.
Yeah, okay.
Under.
Vaguely remember a boyfriend wearing that. Yeah, go ahead.
That was like the style. And then I don't remember what I wore on top, but I had a mullet, I believe, my freshman year.
Aww.
I know I had one sophomore, junior year.
It's amazing how vividly I remember. What do you mean it was, how dorky it was?
I was very proud of my outfit that day because I had two variations on it. First, I had a pair of jeans or corduroy pants.
You do outfit changes?
Yeah. And then I had this shirt in two colors. I was really proud of myself that they had two different, one was tan and one was kind of like a blue, like a sky blue.
T-shirt?
No. It was, Bunda? I can't describe it in any other style than essentially a cowboy shirt.
Oh, I can see that.
Shirt. Like, it looked like a cowboy shirt.
Like had like the collar, like the collar had like different tips.
And it had a piping.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
The piping. I can on see it. It looked like the shirt that Woody would wear aww in Toy Story. And I was really proud of myself because I had gotten it the week before, and I had two different colors. So I wanted to be able to vary my appearance.
How did you do a wardrobe change at school? Like in the bathroom?
I was just saying. I was like, you know, I was gonna. I showed up the first day of school dressed like a cowboy. I did not have cowboy boots, by the way, which would have been cool.
Gym shoes?
Yes, like okay. Gym shoes, like flat, something like that.
Any comments on your
no garb? Because we're all dorky, you know.
There you go.
When you go to high school, you made a statement. First day, you're all dorky.
Our anyway. School was we our junior high was one of the smaller ones that would dip into the bigger schools, and I was going to start anew because all my good friends in eighth grade abandoned me. They said, we're not friends with you for no reason. Like, so I had zero friends the first day.
I had zero friends because none of my friends went to LA Tech. Yeah.
But it ended up being like a blessing in disguise because then I became cool friends with all the popular kids who are like my best friends now. And I got arrested the next week for underage driving.
What?
And I became like this cool kid.
Geez.
And it was like my life changed. And then I became like a social climber after that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm not going to be a good student.
I think I did okay. I always was able to go through different groups. I was with the dorky kids, the smart kids, the jocks. I was never really popular. I had really good friends in different groups. It was never one or the other.
Now, I was friends with the popular kids.
Yeah.
I know that. I remember when I would hang out for the most part, freshman year, total dork. Somewhere along the line, sophomore year, I found my, you know, you find your footing under you, but then you suddenly, like, you start hanging out with other folks who are kind of cooler. And all I know is that by senior year, I suddenly had people hanging out with me, which
ooh,
was weird.
Yeah.
So, but I was mostly friends with the pop, because I know a lot of folks. Like, you know, I went to Whitney Young High School, and you know, I became friends with people who went on to really do some really notable stuff. I mean, I went to school with someone who played in Wimbledon.
Wow.
Played against Chris Evert in Wimbledon.
Who's that?
Katrina Jackson.
Okay.
She played against Chris Evert in Wimbledon.
Nice.
And then Dan Duster, who became a motivational speaker.
Okay.
And a bunch of other folks who, you know, just wow. And it, again, you know, the popular folks. And mm-hmm. I was just like that guy who knew popular people. So then later on they come back and go, hey, Elliot, how you doing? I'm like, oh my God, you knew I existed.
Wow. Aww. A friend, a listener from the 847 says, I've been a freshman for 3 weeks because some of the schools in the area obviously start earlier.
Right.
Tell Griffin that it's not that hard. Well, you know what, 847, he probably agrees with you. It's harder on his mom. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit sad I won't be there because I'll be with Declan in the morning, who's still in the hospital. So I'll be down here, but hopefully I'll get to see Griffin and see what he thought about it. We went to the zoo for his birthday recently, and Griffin very boldly and without any sort of hint of being shy about it wore his Woody cowboy hat to the zoo. He has the costume part of the hat, and he wore the
nice.
He's 15, and it isn't. He was born after the deadline for CPS.
No wonder me and that kid get along so well. Yeah. I dress like a cowboy on my first day of school. He's going around with a cowboy hat.
Although I did have a little bit of an issue with him wearing the Woody cowboy hat with a timey-wimey Doctor Who shirt.
I'm jealous.
It's combining genres. I was like,
he's crossing timey-wimey shirt.
Yeah, timey-wimey shirt is a doctor. It's something that the 11th doctor says.
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Matt Smith.
Still don't know what that is.
It's time is not linear. It's kind of It's timey, wimey, wibbly, wobbly.
So Griffin, who is a huge fan of Doctor Who,
right.
This show has been on the air for 50 years now. It started out as a children's show, but has now obviously risen to cult status. And they're about to embark on their 13th season with the first time a woman has stepped into the
right.
role.
Remember, we talked about that last year.
It's so funny because Griffin is at, when we were in London, he noted that I would correct people when they would say, oh, well, it's a woman doctor now. And I'm like, oh, did you say it was a man doctor for the last 12, but everyone just kind of looks at me. And just, you know, it's a woman playing the doctor. It's not a woman doctor. The doctor is just the doctor, right?
Doctor, women can be doctors. It's not like when you go to the hospital.
Yes. So you have a woman, I got a girl doctor. But I think people still do. I think people still do. But so can you, I don't know the best way to explain Doctor Who and his role in the universe and how he time travels in a police box.
I thought it was a telephone call box. Booth.
It looks like a telephone booth.
I watched it once, like in the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, you saw the fourth Doctor.
Yeah, probably saw like reruns from
PBS.
Yes. That's when I saw it, yeah. That's when I first saw
it. My cousin and my brother used to watch it.
He's an alien from outer space who travels in a time machine, but because a particular circuit in the time machine is broken, it's stuck in the form of a police box. Normally, because he's traveling through time using this type of machine that he has, it's called the chameleon circuit. So if he lands on a prehistoric planet, the time machine would turn into like a rock that would blend in with the background. But since the chameleon circuit on his time machine is broken, it's stuck in the form of a police box from Great Britain.
And then he goes back and kills Hitler? Is that how it works?
They actually had an episode
where it was a possibility.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Right. He goes all the way back to Pompeii in the moments before the volcano.
Yeah.
A lot of really fun stuff. It started out as an educational show to teach kids about history and to imagine the future. So there's
There's no medical then?
There's no. Yeah.
Well, every once in a while, because the mythos now is that the reason you have people who are doctors is because he was the original doctor. He was the first doctor. His job is to help and to heal. And that's what he does as he goes throughout time.
So there you go.
But that's what they say now. But, you know, again, it was just a cool name.
He can
beginning.
Fix things with a screwdriver, but it's not a screwdriver.
But not a first-class seat.
No, but it's not a screwdriver. Like, he doesn't bolt things down. He points it at things.
Oh. Like Mark and Mindy? Like Mark used to point to things? And
Mark, yeah, but things came apart when he pointed at it.
Yes, he didn't use it properly.
The zip-zap.
He would blow things up on accident.
Yeah.
It was a little too powerful.
He would go like this and things would close and open, too.
Yes, that was it.
No, that's Star Wars. That's
I watched an episode last night.
No, that's Fonzie.
He'd go like this and his luggage came down.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I watched a good episode last night.
Is it really? Are we almost done? Oh, no. All right. Let's tell me something good. We're going to wind down. And I believe Griffin and Domati are coming in. Domati and Griffin, have we decided? Have they given each other? Have they chosen the building? It's Griffin and Domati. Domati and Griffin. I'm coming up with a theme song as we go. Paul, do you see why I don't sing? More after this on 720 WGN.
Hello, world. Here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Tell me something good. What's making you happy today? I have to say what makes me happy this week have been the extraordinary nurses who have been caring for my son. And they are watching him 24/7. They have to because he doesn't understand that he can't walk yet and he will pull himself off the bed and fall and hurt himself. So there is somebody watching over him literally 24/7. Right now, the nurse's name is Laura, and I want to thank her for the work that she does. One of the other nurses, Dee, the other night she told the nurse who was relieving her, she goes, "Don't let Patty talk to you after midnight. Her voice will put you to sleep." She goes, her voice is just so velvety. So, like, I'm trying to like talk in hushed tones in the room, and we have a little bit of a conversation, and so I drop it down a little bit, and I'm like, "So, you know, are you from Chicago? Thank you so much for taking care of my son." And I don't realize I drop into this voice. So,
I have something to say. I listened to your parts of your CD from 2003 that you saw my friend found.
Oh, boy.
And your voice is definitely different back then.
Well, I was also pregnant because he was pushing on my diaphragm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 8.5 months pregnant.
Definitely.
That's so weird that you were listening to that.
I only got through a little because then the rainstorm started, so I had to like pay attention to the road because I drove home from Kenosha.
So that CD was recorded. Griffin was born in 2003. I was 8.5 months pregnant. So Steve actually rolled me out on a industrial dolly. Do you know? Can you hear the music when I'm coming out?
Yeah, you say something, you address it, but you don't.
It's One Girl Revolution by Superchick. It's the same song that we play every night on the show. Yeah.
Well, you can say that you start talking about somebody. That whatever.
Oh, my husband rolled me out. Yeah, my husband rolled me out.
Like, he's got more than one use, or you said something like that. But I heard that part, and I heard the first two segments, but then I had to switch over.
Well, thank you. You couldn't take it anymore.
No, it's not that. Yeah. I'm gonna listen to it. It's in my car now.
Listen to it. It's weird. The CD is called "Pregnant Party Girl from Stoles to Stirrups." I'm sure someone has sold it for 99 cents on eBay, maybe a quarter somewhere. You can pick it up. I don't know. It's what.
Wait, he rolled you out on a dolly?
Yeah.
Hannibal Lecter? Or?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out an entrance, and we saw this. It was a big theater, and I was pretty big, and so I just leaned on it, and I go, Steve, can you roll me out there and just drop me off at the microphone? So, roll me out there.
Wow.
I had this idea. I had wanted, but we were only doing two nights, so I didn't want to put a whole lot into, making a big production, and there was always the possibility that I couldn't do the show because it was so close to the delivery. We had backup plans, but I had wanted to have, somebody pull me out, on a platform, and you have, someone pull it up by a rope and have me glide out, on a chaise lounge or something. But
was a crowd, how many people were in that crowd?
That was a full house. So whatever the seats at the time set, they set 333.
Right.
Yeah, both nights we sold out. Yeah.
Was it mostly women in the crowd?
Yes.
I was just going to say, because you can hear the laughs of women.
Yeah, it was almost entirely women. And it was crazy because we had a line out and around corner.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, you work at it's now the Laugh Factory.
Right.
At the time, it was the Lakeshore Theater.
Right, right, right.
Over there at Belmont and Broadway.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to my little CD.
I'm still not done yet. It's in my car. I'll be listening.
All right, then. Thank you for that. Elliot, tell me something good.
I don't know if I understood them correctly, but the Walter E. Smith gals said they're going to hook me up with my pirate bunk bed. So they said, no, really? You want one? Give us a call. We'll hook you up.
Why does it have to be a bunk bed?
Well, they said it's a pirate bunk bed. I was like, oh, what am I going to tell them? No, I do not want that second level.
You can make the second level into a different.
Make it like a crow's nest.
One's for sleeping and one's for fort making or whatever.
Or just to hang out, read, That would be awesome. But yeah, I'm serious. If I get a pirate bed, that will make my 2018.
What do you think your significant other, your girlfriend, will think about
this? I was just texting her now, and she doesn't believe me when I'm telling her the Walter E. Smith folks are going to
hook pirate
me to the
ship.
It's a pirate ship.
What if it's really well done? What if it's incredibly
classy.
Elaborate and classy? And
from the Tom Hanks movie? They're like, no, it's like a modern-day pirate ship.
Yeah.
You're the captain now.
I am the captain. Yeah. That's what I'd be saying every time, I invite you over. Hey. I am the captain now.
Oh, boy.
Look at me.
If you could do a themed bed, what would it be, Paul?
I don't think I would do a themed bed.
Come on, dude. You have so many.
I would like the mirrors on the ceiling thing. That sounds pretty
Why?
Cool. I don't
Ooh.
Know. It just seems cool.
Is it better for when you're alone or with somebody?
Can I admit that for the longest time, I never understood the purpose of mirrors on the ceiling, and it just clicked one day? I went, oh,
yeah,
that's
I don't think I've ever been in a situation where there's been a mirror on the ceiling.
Yeah.
No. I don't want to get personal with Ez and Roger.
No.
No.
It's not 1978.
Isn't it Sybaris? Don't they have that at Sybaris?
Yeah, I don't hang out at the Sybaris.
Oh, I thought
Paul
you were there
does,
for Valentine's Day, Ez.
Did you ever hear the Gary Shandling's first set on the Johnny Carson show? He said there were mirrors on the ceiling, and he said he made sure that it said objects are larger than they appear.
Nah.
What? That's a good one. What would if you could do a themed bed? I know we talked about this earlier. You wouldn't do a room.
Oh,
would you do like a swan?
Yeah, just a giant swan.
How about a
to
giant?
Sit in.
How about a giant cat bed?
Oh my gosh.
That would, you know what? That kind of sounds cozy.
I'm saying, right? Because I always have like this sort of like soft edge around it, you know?
Yeah. And, oh, you mean like.
And some of them are tented.
You mean like a cat bed that a cat would sleep in.
Oh,
I'm
no.
imagining a giant cat and like you sleep in its, like in its belly. And you
Mother
grab
Hubbard.
Some of the fur. Yeah, you grab some of the fur and pull it over on you.
Like a big.
Wow.
And every once in a while, its tail just like flaps up and just like hits you.
The tail up means don't disturb. Or it's a skunk.
Or I would go completely 10-year-old girl and have the bedroom of my 10-year-old dreams.
Yes.
Like princess.
With a canopy?
Yes, with the canopy.
I would want a tent. I think a tent bed would be cool.
I think a tent bed would be awesome. I want.
I think that the pirate.
Yes.
Bed should be multimedia so that when he jumps in, this plays.
Well done, Roger.
I agree.
Any Styx callback is a good callback in my book.
There you go.
If you can incorporate Dennis DeYoung into a bed talk.
I'm
sure you could pay him enough.
Come sail away, my lady.
Oh, man. Is that? By the way, someone just searched my name on Amazon hoping to find my CD, but a Mary J. Blige t-shirt came up instead. I'll take a pregnant party girl. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know how to make that. I mean, that CD is so old, it's dated. Paul, since you're listening to it, you'll have to ask me if it holds up, if it's something I should put out there. I doubt it.
I am not going to answer that question. No, I will.
All
I'll
right.
tell you.
Be honest with me. It is. It's 15 years old.
Well, also, I mean, it's 2003. Like, right. what holds up, really, right. that you listen? Like, the comedy that I listened to back then, I don't think I would listen to now.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. But I'll let you know.
Right.
I'm sure.
I appreciate it. Domati and Griffin are next, if you guys want to come in. Ben, I didn't mean to leave you out. Do you want to tell me something good?
I have plenty good going on. I've got all my aviation stuff is still going. Normally this stops at
excellent.
Like beginning of August, but I'm still going.
Excellent. Ez, you got something good to tell me?
No.
All right, then. That's fine. I'll take that.
Life is good.
Just
life
the cat is good bed that general. You want to be in the belly of?
Yeah, be in the belly of the cat bed. Roger?
Cat bed.
Giant cat bed. Roger was here for 48 hours doing news in the absence of anything else.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You made it.
That's my life.
Yeah,
the usual good. Love being with you guys, as always. Love being here at the radio station. September is birthday month in the Badish household.
Oh, very good.
So we have the two kids are 9 years, 357 days apart. Oh. Almost a perfect 10
wow,
years.
Wow, look at him with the math on that.
Wow. So we'll be doing that. Plus, it's back to school for the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back on grandpa duty starting tomorrow.
Grandpa duty. Well, happy birthday to all of the September birthdays. Domati Pongo and Griffin Filipich join us in studio. Hey, guys.
Hello. What's going on?
Is it P&G? GMP? No.
We're still working on the name.
Huh. Well, P. Why did I say P? Because DP.
DP.
And G. DP and GF.
We need to
figure this out. Probably not
GD. GD doesn't sound
right.
This is not your job. This is what we need to be working on.
I know,
on.
But I'm just
sorry. I don't have this figured out
right.
already.
No. You don't. You know what? It's the night side with Domati Pongo and Griffin Filipich and Griffin Filipich and Domati Pongo. What do we have coming up tonight?
We got a lot to talk about. We're a couple. It's supposed to be kind of a lazy holiday, you know, Labor Day, where everyone takes the day off. But there was kind of a lot of news today.
A lot happened.
Steve Bannon was. Scheduled at the New Yorker Ideas Festival.
Okay.
And within, I don't know, 3-4 hours of that announcement, he was then canceled.
Yes. Because of the backlash. But how did they not see that coming?
I think
how is that surprising to them?
Well, and this is what I think we want to talk about a little bit. This happens a lot where people are like, I know I'm going to get some heat for this, but I want to say this one thing. And they knew they were going to get heat, but they didn't know how much.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
But how do you not know how much? Well, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Right. Especially with Judd Apatow and the people they had on that list.
A lot of people then dropped out. So, yeah.
I don't know if you were going to do this, and I don't want to ruin it, but do you think it would be that they did it so that they would cancel it to show how magnanimous? Look how good we are. Look how wonderful.
We listen to you.
Yes.
Yes. That's a good angle.
Maybe, but I don't.
Or to get free press.
Yeah.
Yeah, another story I thought about, speaking of free press, Nike and this Colin Kaepernick
deal.
Yeah.
People are cutting the swooshes off of their Nike apparel. So we're going to talk about that. But then I wonder, when you talk about backlash, if Nike knows that that would happen and that will have us all talking about Nike. So we fell right into it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I saw the commercial, and I think it's, they're celebrating their 30th anniversary.
Yes.
So
30th anniversary.
With Colin Kaepernick, amongst others, I think, is the face of their celebration. That's Domati Pongo and Griffin Filipich up next. We'll be back. Andrea is back tomorrow night, and we look forward to seeing her, see what she thought about all the shows I made her watch while she was on vacation.